On this episode of Podigious.
Why didn't Izzy make the Apple Watch? I don't know.
Now on to the best character. Objectively the best character.
TK?
TK.
I think you're mispronouncing Ken.
Also, like, when I was 6, which is even younger than Kari and TK, I was, like, shipping myself with people.
That's me vomiting that scene out of my mouth.
I remember, like, liking such individual pieces of this, but no, I can't pick this. It's horrible.
In season 1, she was too much like, what's going on? I've been thrown in this. I'm also a god? Who knows?
You can use mine to get on the internet!
Sorry, I just stole the mic from Izzy to let you all know that we recorded this episode several months ago at the beginning of May. We mentioned Try a couple times, so keep in mind that we recorded this before the first PV came out. We aren't going to cover any recent follow-up because we recorded follow-up during the normal recording session back in May, foolishly thinking this episode would come out right away. Also, apologies for the audio quality on this one. Asher's computer was being repaired, and while recording on a temporary laptop, he accidentally got the wrong input. This is a really massive episode. We recorded for over 5 hours, so I hope you enjoy. And now, back to Izzy.
For the explosive finale of Podigious Season 2.
To get on the internet,
Podigious!
Welcome to Podigious, episode 213, our 02 cents.
Adventure 02, all of it.
Metastats, listener favorite clips, epilogue revisited, Digidestin, Digimon, villains, animation, episodes, world building, plot, themes, disappointments, surprises, proposed changes, unanswered questions, listener questions, and Omega RDD.
Recorded May 3rd, 2015.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
That's me.
Asher Soffman.
Hi.
And Andrew Soffman is busy with finals this week.
He's graduating.
Ooh.
Oh, snap.
This week, we're looking back on all of 02, so here's a quick recap of the season.
Hey, what's up, superstar? Looks like you're going far.
Hey, look, it's Wonder Guy. Gonna make you plenty fine.
Now, what's up, Wonder Girl? You're gonna change the world.
So everything's not perfect.
Don't matter, because you rework it.
Nothing's holding you.
Never stopping.
Never stopping now.
Here we go.
I do feel the need to explain to people, for listeners who might be very confused at this point, these are the lyrics to, wait, what is the song actually titled?
Here we go.
Which is the song they play in the dub when they go into the digital world, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's when they always play it.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's what we've been using as a theme song for the first 2 seasons of Podigious. And so this is also a bittersweet, I think, probably a farewell to the song as our theme song.
Goodbye, theme song.
There was this idea that Ashley and I flirted with for a while. The two of us flirted with it, not with each other, because we're already dating. We don't need to flirt.
We flirt with each other, too. That's fine.
This didn't really fit once Andrew joined, but in the first season, when it was just 3 of us, that in the chorus, whatever this is, first verse, whatever, that they refer to a superstar, a Wonder Guy, and a Wonder Girl, and we're like, wait, there are 3 of us.
Yeah.
Each of us can be, one of us can be the superstar, one of us can be Wonder Guy, one of us can be Wonder Girl.
What did we decide? I don't remember.
I think we just decided it was way too complicated.
Yeah. It was too hard to, like, because I was thinking we'd be like, it would say like, hey, what's a superstar? And then like, I'd be like, yo. And then it's like, hey, look, it's Wonder Guy. And Asher would be like, hey. And then now what's up, Wonder Girl? And Asher would be like, yo. Or something like that. It was just like too hard to actually edit in.
I just don't think it worked well.
I think I tried to edit that for a little bit. And I was like, no, there's no way. Because without it like pausing the... Actually, if I had like an instrumental track, maybe I could have cut out the other words. But anyway, farewell, good theme song.
You will be missed.
You served us well.
This episode of Podigious is brought to you by... Wait, what? Holy crap, this episode is over 3 hours long? What the hell? We don't have time for some stupid joke only Jeff finds funny. Just get back to the show!
F you, Jeffrey!
F you, Ashley. It's time for follow-up with Jeff and Ashley and Asher.
What?
Do 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 do. It was Ashley's idea for me to start doo-doo-dooing the Game of Thrones song.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it maybe it was.
We watched it last week and you're like, you should use that as a song.
It worked well. I liked it.
Yeah, Ash, normally I can't think of anything else, so I just accidentally do the Price is Right. Wait, what, how's it even go now?
Do-do-do-do.
Do. We dragged Asher into a weird world that he's not expecting.
You really did, because I...
Oh. It's okay, Asher. You'll survive.
Are you sure?
And we have stickers again. So we're going to do the normal thing where the first five people to email us with the secret code for this episode, which is Chibomon, we'll get stickers. Send us your mailing address to our email address, podedges@gmail.com. And also, the listeners who replied to the most listener favorite polls for Zero Two this past week or two. So we had these polls on social media that we asked you what their favorite stuff was. And if we mention your name, then email us at podedges@gmail.com with your mailing address and we'll send you a sticker. So people who won those are Luke Colkid, Storm Rants, The Greatest of Games, and Evermoto. So if you want to claim your sticker and you're one of those people.
So we have a new review from Mezzy Bezzy in Australia. We love you, Australia.
Woo!
Never been there, but you seem cool. So now I'm going to read an old review. From Prince of Dawn in the USA from July 14th, 2014. So the original review was, the title was, "Good show with a clever title." And the body was, "The show is essentially a discussion panel on each Digimon season. The series is normally compared with how it was viewed as a child as opposed to the current ages. While I do feel one of their cast members is hardly enamored with Digimon and makes it clear throughout the recording, the overall show makes up for it. I'd recommend this to any Digimon fan." I have no idea who that unarmored with Digimon person might be.
There's that bit of a negative comment. I hope that's still not true. I mean, this was pretty early on in the podcast, but I guess is one of us who is less enthusiastic than others, but I wouldn't say you're not enamored. I think we're all pretty enamored.
Whatever. It's fine.
I don't think we would have spent this many hours of our lives doing this if we weren't all, you know, somewhat invested.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
But yeah, I can see how that comes off if you just hear someone being negative all the time.
But Ashley isn't even.
Maybe in the beginning.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Before we ran into Stingmon.
Before Stingmon! I didn't even try. Didn't even try. Anyway, this review translated between 40-something different languages.
So we, and this is also helpful for new listeners, we take the review and sentence by sentence feed it through a translation service that translates it back and forth between 43 different languages, like to Russian and back to English, then...
Because it's ridiculous. Listen to this. Okay, the title is now Beautiful Clever Girl. I assume that's me again.
No, but so the original title was Good Show with a Clever Title is now Beautiful Clever Girl.
It's fine. The body is now The Plan, In the End, The Money, The Season of the Digimon. This game is a new step, baby, I think. Half of your friends, Digimon. And from this perspective, I guess, ? Digimon, I think.
Oh.
Amazing.
This game is a new step, baby.
That came out really well. I had not read through it initially, so I didn't know what was coming. I was just like...
I think we should keep it that way.
This is pretty good.
Ash, you okay?
Yeah.
Isn't Clever Girl the name of that, like, chatbot?
What?
Yes. No, its name is Cleverbot. Clever Girl is a quote from Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah.
The best part of this is the random question mark.
Oh, yeah, it's in the beginning of the sentence. Like, yeah. where did that get added?
I don't know. This week we received a lot of comments from... Okay, we don't know if you're new listeners, but new people who commented were... Fading Bullet, Ergemon, Rei, Agumon Zero, Reisa, Togetak. Togetak? Sure.
Togetak? I don't know.
DTC Scout, Wani Yaro. Yeah. And then familiar faces that commented were Shawnee Mac 23, Adventure Hearts, Martin P, Smile Wolfie, John Summers is non one person.
Yeah.
Is that a person? Okay. Non. Kari is my favorite. Molly, Dragonheart, Stephen Padamore, one person.
Stephen Padamore.
Sorry.
Stephen Padamon.
Steve, exactly. That's just what it should have been. Stephen Padamore and Alex Michelle.
What I find weird is how naturally you like fall into this like cheery like Shawnee Mac 23 Adventure Heart. Like it's like a like cheery like I don't know.
It's my reading voice.
Is it?
I don't know.
So the first thing that I want to bring up is a follow-up to our discussion several episodes ago in episode 210 about the 0-2 epilogue. And in that epilogue, or in our discussion of the epilogue, we talked about how, like, it makes sense for kids to change career before they grow up, how we didn't like how the girls, specifically Sora and Yuli, become more feminine, given that they, like, didn't show that many feminine traits during the show, and then their jobs are feminine. And we also talked about the plausibility of the careers they end up with, given their personalities, since that's usually a sore point. But I feel like we kind of rushed through that a little bit, because we, I don't know, I think we were recording for a while in that episode, and also there are a couple points we didn't pick up on, and so this is particularly inspired by a comment from Cedar Mill on episode 210. And so the first thing I want to talk about is, like, the career success of the group, and how a common complaint that's brought up about it is that, like, doesn't seem like it's too convenient that all the kids are successful, or that most of them are, and both that that's kind of, like, too convenient, and also kind of undermines the point of the finale, which is that the kids don't need to be special to be happy and stuff. I don't know. How do you guys think about that?
I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah.
I agree, but I feel like that's just how stories go.
Yeah.
They just never are gonna make somebody seem that unsuccessful.
Yeah, I feel like there's the imbalance of, like, if you just make someone have a mundane thing, then they're gonna be like, that's unsatisfying to the reader, listener, watch, viewer.
Well, I mean, people say that about Yoli being a housewife.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, we have one quote-unquote unsuccessful person.
Okay, so Ty's a diplomat, which is, like, I'm pretty sure that's a fairly high, like, it's not just a job, like, there's only, like, one diplomat per country. There's a diplomat per every combination of countries, right? Like, every country that has relations.
I think there's more than one diplomat per every... You're thinking embassy, like, you're thinking...
Yeah.
Ambassador?
Yeah, that.
Right. And I guess I meant, like, one, like, there is one for, like, United States and England and United States and, like, every combination. But so, diplomats, there are even more than that. So, I don't know, like, what does that... How high-ranking a position does that make Ty's diplomat position with the digital world? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, so, like, and Matt is an astronaut, which is extremely high-ranking, okay? Sora is a fashion designer, which is unclear, like, because she could be an unsuccessful fashion designer who, like...
She didn't look like one. She looks pretty...
Yeah, she looks successful.
Happy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if she's really successful, that is really high-ranking, because, like, that's probably a pretty hard industry to be successful in. But we don't really know how successful she is. Izzy, as a researcher, we assume he's successful because he is Izzy, and he just is a genius at the age of 7 or whatever, 9. But they don't really spell out how, like, it's not like they say, like, Izzy won the Nobel Peace Prize for science or anything. It's like, they say Izzy's a researcher.
They don't say Izzy cured cancer or anything.
Like, well, he wouldn't. He's a computer researcher.
I don't
he
care.
He could cure computer cancer.
Computer
he
cancer?
He could come up with some thing that revolutionized the tech world.
Why doesn't Izzy cure Digimon of evil?
Why didn't Izzy make the Apple Watch? I don't know.
Oh, God. Anyway, so we got to Izzy. Mimi has a cooking show, which seems very successful. Like, I think just having it could be like a crappy cable channel, but, like, even so, like, it's still a pretty big deal to have a cooking show. Joe is a doctor, which it's pretty hard to be a doctor, but, like, doesn't mean he's, like, famous or anything. Still, like,
he's no Derek Shepherd.
That's all I can say to Grey's Anatomy reference. But, like, that's still kind of a, like, mundane upper middle class job. You know, like, it's not really like he's not world famous for being a doctor.
It's true.
TK is an author, also unclear. He could be super famous or he could be, like, in obscurity. We know he has a published book.
He could be
book.
A self-published author on Amazon.
Wow, way to condescend.
I'm sorry.
Well, that didn't exist
good.
Well, no, it's in the future.
But it's in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So it does exist.
So Kari is a kindergarten teacher. That's very middle class, I guess. Davis is an entrepreneur, very successful, very famous. That's the epitome of this.
Yeah.
Not really making sense, and it directly contradicts what Davis said before the epilogue about not caring about being successful like that.
Well, I mean, he started out really small.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right. That sort of makes it even more
it's a good way of expressing it. Yuli is a mother. That's very...
She's a mother, and we don't know what else she does. So, like...
And question
mark. We only know her as a mother.
Maybe she's, like, the number one mother in the country or something.
Maybe like, she's a mommy vlogger.
Maybe she's a mommy vlogger.
Hey, that Davis, those people can be big.
yeah, we have no indication that she has a very non-famous life. Cody is a lawyer. That's also a very hard career to get into and means he's very successful, but also not necessarily famous or like some crazy level of success. Ken is a detective. Unclear if he's like just some guy who works at the police office or if he, you know, like is like the number one, if he's Sherlock. I don't know. whoa. Okay. Digimon fan fiction that has Ken as Sherlock and Stingmon as Watson.
That might exist.
Go.
So what I wrote down is the extreme successes were Matt, Mimi, Davis, and maybe Ty. And the very good careers, but not necessarily like famous or like extreme successes, are Izzy, Joe, and Ken. Unclear are Sora and TK, and definitely middle class are Kari and Yuli. So I feel like it's not really true that like everyone or even the majority have these like super successful careers. It does seem like a like 4 to 12, but there's definitely a gender bias, which is super unsettling. Like when I rank those four categories, like the three women are at the bottom. Like they're either in the unclear category or the... Wait, there are more than three. What am I... Mimi's at the top. I forgot about Mimi.
How could you...
For shame. Okay. For shame.
So aside from Mimi, there should be five girls, shouldn't there, though? No, for four. Okay. No. So aside from Mimi, the three, Sora, Kari, and Yuli, are at the bottom. They're the only... Kari and Yuli are the only... They're only women who have the definitely middle-class jobs, which is...
I mean, I don't know. I took from this comment that none of them are, like... unsuccessful. Like, I don't know. I think unsuccessful is like
they
like,
worked failed.
In a convenience store and didn't go to school or something and like have no ambition in life or something.
That would be really upsetting, like depressing to... I think it might be too far to say that working in a convenience store would be a failure of life, but like
if they
had represented someone as failing, like, you know, like they're just drunk all day and like they don't have a job and like...
Right, like that's what I think of.
Like that would be like so depressing, so unsettling, like you just murdered that character basically. So
that's why I'm like, they can't do that.
But yeah, I think the general complaint is more the like they seem to have like uncharacteristic successes. The other point I want to kind of bring into this is that like some of these make like whether the convenience of them being so successful, I feel like the fact that it remains to be seen. Try will, I assume, address this at some level, but like I wonder, especially so when there aren't Digimon publicly known about, like they're just random kids, right? But like at the point where like if Digimon become commonplace, like they have to be known as like the saviors of the digital world, right? I mean, so I wonder if like, you know, Ty becoming a diplomat seems like the natural thing for like you were the leader of this team that saved the digital world.
Yeah.
Here's a position, you know, like
exactly.
So I wonder how much like these people are, maybe they're just celebrities in the future, you know? Which I mean, also that would mean that some of them should become like celebrities that go off the rails and you know, like I don't know.
Where are you going?
What? Where am I going with that?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get into ableist territory.
Celebrities don't have to go off the rails.
No, they don't, but like I also don't, I didn't want to make like value judgments about like, because I think they're, how can I put this best? Like they're the people that become famous often aren't, they're not given, like they're not famous because of the skills that would take to like stay mentally healthy in that position of being famous. Like if you're just an actor, like that doesn't give you the tools to like deal with paparazzi 24/7, you know, like that it totally makes sense to like to mess up someone's life. And I feel like there's so much the way we stigmatize that, like people like Lindsay Lohan, she's like, oh, she's just crazy, like, you know, like it's such a ableist and gross way of treating celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they don't really talk about whether they're celebrities or not, so The other point was that, like, the fact that they all have kids. They don't mention if they're all married. They show them all having kids.
Mm-hmm.
So someone could be single or divorced or just not wanting to be married or whatever. But they definitely all have kids.
Some of them might not want to have kids. Some of them might have more trouble having kids. But no, they all have cloned children.
They all have cloned children.
Yeah, exactly. I think the fact that they're so clony is what makes me less unsettled by this, because it's like, oh, this is just so cheesy anyway. Like, they're just copies of them. Like, of course it's not realistic, you know?
That's how it always is in fiction.
Yeah.
Or it's like, we took a perfect mixture of your mom and your dad's characteristics.
Yes, you have your mom's hair and your dad's eyes.
Yes, like, cool.
Yeah.
Which happened with some of the kids, actually.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I tried to look into, like, marriage rates in Japan to... What I really wanted to find out is, like, what percentage of people over a certain age in Japan are married, to see if, like... Because maybe when this was produced in 2000, I think, maybe it would have come out in 2001, if the idea of, like, not... The idea of being 40 and not being married, if that was, like, crazy or if that was commonplace. Because, like, this kind of suggests that, like, most people are married or have kids, at least. And I couldn't really find statistics about that. All I could find was the marriage, like, rate year to year, like how many new people are being married and stuff, and articles about how it's been on the decline, wrapped up in all of the, like, Japanese people aren't having sex kind of stuff, and the birth rate dropping and everything. So I don't know. Maybe the epilogue teaches that, you know, Japanese people should have kids, and
maybe
was trying to preemptively stop the marriages or the birth rate decline.
Digimon single-handedly stopping the birth rate decline.
But yeah, I think we all pretty much agree that, like, we wish there was some diversity shown in their preferences towards having kids, but it's clear they wanted a clone army of Digidestined. But I mean, I guess, but it's unclear whether they're all married, so, like, there could be some diversity in that.
Yes.
Okay, so back into feedback territory, because that was all kind of follow-up. So we have an answer question about episode 212, Revenge of the Duomormon episode. We got submissions from Smile Wolfie, Martin P., Stephen Patmore, and Alex and Shell. So thank you to all of you for sending us those questions. And my pick is from Smile Wolfie, who asked, were Jeff and Ashley drunk when you guys did the follow-up? yeah.
No.
No. We aren't laughing as much as we normally would, because we had already told Ash about this before we started recording. So we already got all the laughter about it. But yeah, I guess that's just...
Oh, okay. I know what mine is.
When we're happy, we sound like we're drunk. But Ashley and I don't actually drink. So happiness is our drinking.
Aw, adorable. My pick is from Martin P., who says, which search engine did Angemon and Angewomon get lost in? It was Bing, wasn't it? Maybe. Oh, Microsoft jokes. Always.
I can actually kind of make those now. I mean, like, I actually can make those. I probably shouldn't have before, but now I can. Ooh, yay! Bing. Woo.
Ooh, Bing. Jeff is still an Apple fanboy.
Anyway, now on to unanswered questions about Revenge of Duomormon. Wait, no, that's what we just did.
Yes, that is what we just did.
Okay, so now on to ridiculous dialogue Jeff picks sent in from listeners about Revenge of Duomormon. And thanks to everyone who submitted those. That's Cars and Favorite, Martin P., and Alex and Shell. Okay, so mine is from Cars and Favorite, and it's in the opening, I guess, like a montage, I think, when Koromon is just spreading images of Tai and Matt around, and it's like affecting grocery store printouts, receipts. And so a woman is like,
filet of Matt for $9.80? Tai chops for $3.80? These prices are outrageous.
I just find that trying to incorporate trying to make, like, names of the items that they put Tai and Matt on ridiculous. But it's also, like, in the Japanese, that's not really a joke. There's no joke about price, because, like, those are yen prices listed. So it's like,
yeah,
that's like $10 or $4, not really hundreds.
Okay, I will pick one that Martin P. and Alex Michelle both submitted.
Whoa, double RDD pick.
Double RDD, exactly. And it's in the very beginning. I don't know, there's a screen that has a Kuromon on it, probably. There are all these kids, and they're like,
jellyfish don't live in water.
All right.
Jellyfish live in computers and send emails.
Email.
Even little babies know that.
Babies.
Baby.
But I always thought jellyfish lived in the ocean.
Huh? That whole scene was so weird. And I was like...
It was weird.
I forget what they actually said in Japanese, but like it's so weird in entire initial content, not just the dub thing.
Yeah.
So the results of the Ridiculous Diagraph poll from episode 212 from our picks, the number one voted on pick was Ashley's pick of Davis saying, well, it's the whole Davis saying, Vimon, why'd you attack that Kuramon? Vimon replying, he looked at me weird. And then Davis saying, he's only got one eye. All it looks are weird, which is worthy. I have a designated worthy. Right, who's clapping?
Me.
Clapping for yourself.
Yes.
That's almost as bad as me playing Proto just for myself.
Yes.
The next... Oh, wait, so the second place was the Angelmon saying we should take a left to search engine. Angelmon saying, I told you to stop and ask for directions just like a man. Yeah.
Which I gave to Ash. So I think I just destroyed this RPG.
Yeah, you did.
So the last point of follow-up is just a reminder that we have stickers for the first five people to email us with the secret code CHEAPOMON. Ask for stickers, give us your mailing address. Same day as last week, we will have an indicator on the site, which will say if stickers are still available or not. Trust that. There's a chance, there's a small chance that you email us, and I haven't been able to update it yet, but...
Because, you know, we sleep and stuff sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes I release the episode and then sleep for like 10 hours afterwards. But yeah, so there's a small chance that you'll email us and we won't have one. But if you do, then we'll keep you at the top list if we have more in the future. So yeah, so don't worry about emailing us if you... However, if we've already changed the indicator and you email us, then you won't be at the top list anymore. Because that's just cheating. So now we have... Since this is a new segment that we didn't do last year, I guess it was like calling it last year's kind of weird, for last season, which is I had a lot of things I was interested about, like just what's the result of our discussion of 02, you know? So I gathered a bunch of stats about our podcast kind of. So, okay. So the first one is, so the first category is characters. And the first one that is the characters we discuss the most. And I got this because I have the image charts of like every character we discussed and with the time code and everything. And for the purpose of those charts, it only displays the first time I mentioned the episode. But I actually record every time I mention a character for a significant amount of time. And I tie those all up. So who do you think is the most discussed character in the season?
Davis.
Ken.
Ashley, you lose because it's totally Ken by a lot.
I don't know.
So we mentioned Ken in a significant manner 72 times. The next highest was TK and Kari. Both, actually, that is really creepy. They tied at 59.
Creepy. They should be together. Proof right here.
But Davis was right next to them at 58.
Whoa. He's a creeper.
This fits too well. Oh my God. I didn't realize this. And I mean, this for the point of this discussion, like the characters include Digimon. So, but I mean, there's just it happens that the six main characters of this season are the top six. That's handy, I guess. And then after Davis is Yulee at 54, and then Cody at 41. Poor Cody.
Really? Poor Cody.
So. I thought I talked about Cody a lot.
I mean, I feel like you did, but in a like kind of like pitying kind of way. Like, I don't know.
I don't remember talking about Yulee. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think, like, because we almost always have a gender segment, we talked about Yulee a lot without realizing it.
Yeah,
because
she's usually the...
Yulee, sneaky.
And then outside of the 02 main cast, Ty was at the top.
Of course.
Then Matt, then Mimi.
Of course.
Which kind of surprised me.
Good.
And then okay. Joe. Oikawa is the first non, like, protagonist, I guess. Gatomon's the first Digimon. They both had 22. Actually, no, Oikawa and Black War Greymon tied, so.
Black War Greymon!
So, yeah, and Myotismon is up there. Myotismon had 19 mentions compared to, like, Gatomon and Black War Greymon had 22, so you got that in there, Ash. The next stat I want to measure was the characters who had the most RDD lines that we chose. Like, basically, who had the funniest lines in the show. And okay. I think the answer to this is kind of obvious, the number one. What do you guys think?
Is it not Davis? I'm going to say Davis again.
No, it's Davis. It's Davis.
Okay. Yeah. I like, didn't want to be wrong, or I was like, it's probably
Davis. I know, it's like, damn.
And then did Davis stood up with 22? And for the purposes, I included like whenever they start, like if it was like three people talking in the quote, all of them are included. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Davis was had 22 lines, and then the next highest was Yulee with 10. So
wow, Davis killed it.
Davis outclassed everyone. Yeah, and then so it went Davis, then Yulee, then Kari, then Gatomon, then TK, then Ken. But I mean,
Ken, you're not funny, but we talked about you the most.
Well, no, he did have funny lines, like, when he was a Digimon Emperor, basically, I think, is where most of this come from.
It's true.
Because, like, he had, like, funny banter with Wormmon, yeah. But, I mean, basically, Kari through Ken have, like, it's, like, the difference between 8 and 6. It's very small. Like, Davis just blew everyone away, because he's a gust of wind, apparently. Mm-hmm. So
same difference.
The next category is hosts, things about the hosts. So the first one is the host that had the most RDD wins, as judged by the listener poll.
Yeah, who won? I'm curious.
I did not expect this, but Ashley won by a lot.
That's what I thought.
So Ashley won 7 out of the 12, you know.
Wow.
Oh, so some of these are double counted because there were occasionally ties in the number one slot. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't total up to 12. But Ashley won 7. I won 5. Ashley only won 2.
I'm not good at this game.
And Andrew had a, is handicap the right term?
He's not on every episode, yeah.
He was on every episode, so he only won 1. But I think that makes him have a better track record than you.
I just think so many things are funny. Or nothing at all.
I mean, it's weird because I for some reason, I thought Ash would, like, either have won or be near the top, not just, like, completely outclassed.
No, I, like, never win.
Oh. The second category of things I think we should celebrate are RDD picks that had 0 votes total.
Okay, did you win this?
No, there are only 2 that ever had this happen to them. Only 2 picks. Oh, okay. I was the first one, episode 204, the Gatomon quote of, like, laughter is just a way of covering things up, sort of like I do in the cat box.
Nobody thinks it's funny.
I still like that one. I still think it's a perfect mix of, like, almost a poignant comment and then, like, stupid joke. And the second one was you, Ashley, in 208, the Crabmon quote about, like, petty pigeon arachnid.
Oh, it was too much.
I still don't entirely understand your taste on that one, but
whatever.
I don't think it's an achievement to get 0 votes. I think we did well.
So
High five. So the last metric is the teaser, the pre-intro teaser thing I do in the episode, which, like, cut out what I think are the funniest lines to have in the beginning to, like, tease the episode. And it's a weird metric because it's, like, I think looking at the results of this reveals my bias and makes me feel bad that, like, yeah, so it's much more subjective than the other ones because it's, like, up to me as the editor. And so,
and it's Asher.
I just feel guilt about this. No, I won by a lot.
No,
and I just feel bad about that. Like, so this is also like the RDD character thing. If there was a quote that had like 2 of us, then both of us are counted as 1. So like, it doesn't really. It's not measuring like percentage wise of time or anything. So it's a little bit flawed in that regard. But anyway, so I had a line 38 times out of the 12 episodes, and then Asher was in second place at 26. And yeah. I would have thought it would be like mostly Asher. So now I'm just like, oh no, I just think I'm funny, and that's stupid.
I think it's also you actually talk more than I do.
Mm.
I think it's just that you talk more than everybody.
Yeah,
That's not a good thing either. But yeah, so it's like, and then Ashley, you had 14, and Andrew had 5.
Sad.
And then Hope and Mark tied with 2, so.
Good job, Hope and Mark!
Yeah, so the next category is stats about listeners. The first metric is the listeners who had the most unanswered questions chosen in our follow-up sections. And the winner for that is Martin P., who had 3 unanswered questions chosen. But then in second place tied was Cars My Favorite, ShinyMac23, and Alex and Shell all had 2. So congrats to all of you. And the listeners with the most chosen Ridiculous Dialogue Draft picks, listener Ridiculous Dialogue Draft picks, in our follow-up sections, in first place was Cars My Favorite with 6, which, wow, that's an achievement. And second place was Alex and Shell. Third place, Martin P. Congrats to all of you. And those numbers don't add up. If you're curious, they don't quite add up to 12 because Ashley and I chose, we only I forget how many episodes we actually had that segment. It wasn't all of them. And also Ashley and I picked each. So sometimes I picked the same one and didn't count twice. I don't know. So numbers, they're confusing. So, and then the, I looked at the numbers from Discuss and gathered the listeners who had the most comments in our comment section. And so in first place is Rue Burgley. Thank you, Rue Burgley, who is me. Yeah, so I mean, excluding me and Ashley, Ashley didn't have the top, but I'm excluding you and me anyway.
I wasn't in the top, like, three?
You were the third, yes.
Okay.
That's a bronze medal. That barely counts.
Whatever.
So excluding me and Ashley, first place was Ocelot Chamalpin, and second place was John Summers, and third place was Johnny Mac 23. You're all awesome. Thank you for commenting so often.
Yes. I feel bad that I do not reply timely.
Okay, so the last metric is combination metric, and also I want us to comment. I made a poll and asked listeners what their favorite segments of the podcast were. So like Ridiculous Data Draft, that kind of thing. So what are your guys' favorite segments? And I think we're actually keeping this poll open. So I will have a link in the show notes to this poll, and you can keep submitting to it after the episode's aired.
Definitely not fake ads. Tell you that.
Why do you dislike the fake ads?
They're very hit or miss.
So my favorite segments are the recaps, the fake ads, and the gender discussions. But, I mean, that's kind of like, I write both the recaps and fake ads, and I wouldn't have them if I didn't think they were funny. So, like, I'm already biased to, like, I just wouldn't have a fake ad in an episode if I couldn't think of anything that I thought wasn't funny. So, I'm always going to think they're funny. But, and the gender discussions, I just think are, like, important, and I enjoy. And I've changed the way I think about things.
All right. Okay, my favorite sections actually are the bloopers and the pre-intro teasers. I don't usually listen to our episodes afterwards, but every now and then I'll go and just like binge through, and my favorite parts are always like those those quotes taken out of context. But for like real discussion stuff, I think I usually like the ARC specific topics the most.
Mm-hmm.
I get the most out of those.
I consider those kind of like the meat of the show.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I don't know. I would say something, episode recaps, gender discussions, ARC specific things. Mm-hmm. something like that.
What do you all think the listeners voted on?
Ridiculous Dialogue Draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was number one. and then tie for second place was the post outro bloopers, the gender discussions, which I was surprised by. I'm surprised I kind of, because early on the podcast,
we haven't had as many,
but like early on the podcast, we got a little bit of like negative feedback about that. And I feel like we haven't gotten much feedback about it lately. So I kind of expected people to still be negative about it.
Well, at the beginning of the season, we tried it differently and it didn't work out. Wasn't that this season? The general discussion when we went episode by?
Oh, yeah, but we're talking about the gender discussion.
Oh, I love gender discussion.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but the general discussion we tried first episode was terrible. Never again.
We still apologize.
Well, okay, I say never again, but like what I want to do for try is less structured and more like that. But also the problem with that was we tried to do that and also specific topics and stuff, and like it just was forever. I think for one episode it'd be totally different. And then so tied in second place was the post lecture bloopers, the gender discussions, and unanswered questions, which I don't think too much about unanswered questions, but I guess it is our place to like rant about how things don't make sense. So especially for 02, I think a lot of people like that.
This place is so new to me. I just have so many unanswered questions. The quote is just too good. Why? How did this happen?
So this next bit, I asked a couple times for listeners to send us their favorite clips of episodes. And what I'm going to do now is play back those, and we're going to respond to them. So first of all, thank you to everyone who sent these in. So the first favorite clip was submitted by Alex Michelle, and also Kari's my favorite. They both sent it, which I think is funny because they were the two that were often pitted against each other as Hunger Games tributes in the...
You played Hunger Games with our listeners?
Initially.
So it was because we would choose, each of us would, Ashley and I would choose an unanswered question from, each of us would choose one of those, and then each of us would choose a Ridiculous Dialogue Draft pick. So it was like kind of like districts and like choosing two candidates. And then initially we tried to like choose a winner each time, which never worked out because Ashley would never submit. And so then at first we were like, Hunger Games tributes. And then Ashley, no, then one of them was like, I don't know how I feel about being like put in the arena to be killed or something. And I was like, okay, let's not do it. And then Ashley kept doing it. And then one of them said they actually liked it. So But yeah, these two were often pitted against each other. And here it is. Can you guess what it is? Well, no, it's not listed. It's not. These aren't sorted in terms of favorites. They're actually sorted in terms of easiest for me to find. So, because some of them was kind of hard to find. But anyway, here it is.
Stingmon!
As it should be.
Do you like my harp music?
I loved it.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff. I don't think anything else is going to top that here. Yeah.
That is pretty iconic.
I said it once perfectly, and now, whatever. I should be a voice actor.
Where is it? If I lost the soundboard.
Stingmon!
There we go. So the next clip was submitted. It's from episode. I don't know where that Stingmon thing originated from, actually. But we've said it so many times, it's in my soundboard, so... the next clip was from episode 211, and it was submitted by Agumon Zero. And 211 was the episode about the hurricane landing, hurricane touchdown movie thing. And this is one of my favorite quotes from Asher as well.
If a tree falls in the forest but it doesn't make a sound, is it canonical?
I forgot I said that.
It's such a great quote. It's a great quote in context and also out of context too. Like,
can I like have that clip so I can just like put it on Tumblr or something? I feel
sure.
It's a good description of like what I'm about.
I mean, I don't think audio really works on Tumblr very much, but
oh yeah. I'll find a way.
But he can also just write it out and then just have a clip too.
Well, yeah, one thing, there's some NPR podcasts, what they do is like they'll pick a particular quote from the episode and then like make a graphic that like has the like artwork of the episode that like and like the quote overlay on top of it and stuff. I've kind of wanted to do that for podcasts in general, but that's because images are always more shared than podcasts anyway. But I can send you the audio file for that pretty easily. And the next one was also again picked by both Alex and Sheldon. And Akari's my favorite, which is I feel like they're like the same person on the same or like at least very much on the same wavelength, which is kind of cool. And it's from, okay, if I say what episode it's from, it's going to spoil what it is. So here's what it is.
Voice actor of Tentomon.
Tentomon, Digivalve 2!
I didn't like how I captured my own laughter in there, but that was a great moment. Having Jeff Nimoy on the podcast was also just...
We were like, what?
Yeah. It was a pretty good deal to us emotionally.
Nerds, we are nerds.
I mean, it's a bizarre, like the thing that made me feel so bizarre towards just like this was a name that I saw every Saturday morning on my favorite show when I was 9, and to have like them reach out to us, mm-hmm. you know, like that felt crazy to me, and so thankful for that. Anyway, the next clip is from episode 209. It's submitted by Alex Shell, and episode 209 was the episode of about the Daemon Corps, which doesn't really have to do with this clip, but anyway. I think it's kind of the concept of this kind of like children monster thing I've always kind of found bizarre, because it's like, why don't the kids tell their parents? And then it's always this like power fantasy of the kids being able to do stuff that their parents can't do.
Yeah.
Which I always have found kind of strange. But thinking about it now, like only when Ashley mentioned the police and the parents and how they interact with the media did I realize that like that kind of is how the younger generation grows up, in terms of like, you know, we know how to use computers and our parents would always be like asking us questions with computers and stuff. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like the kids always grow up with more powers in some regard than the parents.
It's true. So. Mm-hmm. Deep. Like it.
Prodigious!
You played it for yourself, though.
You just totally played that for yourself. Audience, Jeff just congratulated himself. Patted himself on the back.
My congratulations wasn't good enough for him.
Still true.
That was... I think I've, like, after the episode, forgot to play Prodigious when someone said something good.
I don't think you've ever done that. I think that was the only time you did that.
Early in the episode, I remember, like, I struggled to find the clip, but, like, I did it for you once, and I did it for myself, so...
You never did it for me because...
Gender bias,
exactly.
No, because Asher, there's a clip that was actually, I think, in the pre-roll for the episode that was me being like, I'll use that whenever someone says something profound, and then you're like, so you'll be playing all the time.
Yeah. I remember saying that. I don't remember you actually doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Say something profound.
I can't just do it on the spot, Jeff.
Prodigious!
It's okay. I've moved on.
Okay, so the next one is from Martin P., and it's from episode 203, which was the episode with Hope Chapman.
Yeah, it's weird, though, because, I mean, we get more evidence for Tai and Sora not being a thing, and that's, I feel like, the one in the community that people are much more upset about, because they view Tai as the main character, and they feel like he is obligated to get the girl that they like.
I don't think that's it.
That wasn't it for me.
Yeah, that's not it for me. The thing that connected them to me was that Tai is this, like, just go-getter, ambitious, crazy, hyperactive, forward dude, and he needs somebody who's, like, also able to rein him in. So you have this very proactive, very athletic, they both love soccer. Common interests, it's a thing.
Yeah.
They both love soccer, and she has that personality, but she's not, like, she's not wild and impulsive like he is. She's very maternal and thoughtful, and she's the emotional side that he needs, because he needs one. Let's not forget, this is the guy who, like, told Mimi to suck up her f***ing tears after trying to mourn the death of a friend. It's yeah. a war, Mimi. I remember
for me,
going, what the hell, yeah. when I first heard that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's important. And with Matt, like, what? Matt is a f***ing brooding, he's a brooding loner. Like, you need, you see him with, like, somebody who's a little bit more upbeat. Like, not Mimi herself, but a character that's a little bit more Mimi-like, that's more upbeat and can kind of bring some joy into the situation instead of being, Sora is, she ends up being a housewife, was another thing that I hated about, she's not just a housewife, she runs a flower shop, but that's even worse considering her history with her mother's flower shop. So this doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
Isn't it fashion, actually?
Was it fashion? Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that makes even less sense.
Yeah.
Sora was just robbed by the narrative.
Basically, yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's with Matt, it just, the chemistry isn't there. In order to make her and Matt fit together, you have to feminize her and, like, take away her tomboyishness. And honestly, that's what they did in 02, is all of Sora's appearances are super feminized, and she's his backstage girl, and that, you know, that's kind of it. And it's, yeah, so that's why it was frustrating, I think, not because Tai was the main character, but because it just didn't, because people liked Sora more than that. Like, it was unfair to her, not to him.
The stuff that I saw rewatching Adventure was more about that both Matt and Sora have a brooding side, and I guess I, instead of thinking that opposites attract, was like, well, these they're so similar in this regard, this is what they have as a common ground,
right? But you can't have two people, like, so Sora is emotionally concerned with others but not at all with herself. You can't put her with somebody who is also, well, he's more practically, he's not emotionally concerned with others because brooding loner guy, but he's practically concerned with the safety of others and emotionally, like, not concerned about himself, so he falls into an angst hole. You have two characters who have history, it's a falling into an angst hole, you probably shouldn't put them together.
Right, they'd probably end up in an angst hole together, and...
Yeah, you should put the angst hole character with the what you see is what you get, which is Tai. And it, yeah, now we're arguing, like, chemistry of fake romance, fake romances in a children's cartoon, and I can't.
Yeah.
They didn't even appear in this episode. Yeah.
They didn't even appear in this episode.
Yeah, so I think Martin P. chose that because it was, not because of humor, but because of, like, whoa, that was smart.
Oh.
But no, I think, especially given that I know Hope was working on her visual novel at the time and still working on it. And, like, I especially was like, this sounds like someone who is, like, informed about this because they have been, like, writing a story about relationships. Like, I thought her analysis of that was really smart and really on point. And that was really cool. Even though I feel like I have a different personal philosophy, which is, I think that basically the contrast between, like, opposite attract versus common ground. And I think there is more such psychological evidence for common ground being more of a state, being more of an indicator for a stable relationship than opposite attract.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way she thought about it was really cool and interesting. So should be like we should have a soundboard effect for like a some kind of, like, buzzer or, like, a gong or something whenever I say interesting to, like, train myself to not say it.
But you would be the only one. You have the soundboard.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work.
Give the soundboard to someone else. Yeah.
I used to keep track of that.
Like, on, like, by on hand, paper. Like on paper.
Yeah.
I assume it was crazy.
There was one episode you said it like at least 10 times.
I mean, it would have been way too much effort for me to do. Like, even gathering the stats I did took way too much time. But like,
no, that you would not, you would have been embarrassed, first of all. And no.
Okay, so the next one is from Kari's My Favorite, and episode 208, which was the one about the World Tour Arc. And we kind of alluded to it before, but here it is.
I'm like, the only way to help this win is for me to just let you win?
Yes.
It's not personal, Ashley.
I'm gonna let you win.
It's... You know what we're doing?
What?
We're picking tributes for the Hunger Games.
Okay. And Davis would definitely win the Hunger Games.
I mean, like, the listeners who submitted them. We picked two candidates, and they're competing to the death.
I'm sorry. We can save them both. See, we have that power.
No, only one can win.
No! They're gonna use their suicide berries.
No! What is that? What's the cool for podcasting? We're gonna stop listening if you don't pick both of our answers.
You can leave comments.
That no, no, we need to pick a winner.
Who won?
I think I submitted to whatever you picked, because after that, the part I cut
because
out...
Because I'm Katniss Everdeen, and you do what I say.
The part after that I cut out was like me being like, I'm just always going to submit to you, because this will never work otherwise. Okay, so this one is from episode 207, and it was recommended by Clevier142 on Twitter, and it is from episode 207, If It Only Had a Plot, which was the Black War Gammon episodes. So I want to talk about Destiny Stones in general and the plotting of power imbalance that is basically the very poor plotting of this arc in general. I mean, the loose structure and situation that it's dealing with is that we have Black War Greymon, who is too strong for the kids to defeat. We have Arukenimon and Maimon, who they could defeat at the point where they get two ultimates, but they don't want to kill them off because, I mean, for plot reasons, they need them to be important later on, and they also don't want to deal with the moral questions of, like, them just, like, killing Digimon right now, right? And Destiny Stones, which I think, I can't remember if there are 7 or 8 of them, and they all need to be destroyed, or almost all of them. And so their attempts to defend them can't actually succeed, and they can't actually win against the thing that's trying to destroy them. So that's a lot of tough restrictions to work around, and really plotting out what happens with those restrictions in a way that makes the episodes interesting. It's kind of, this whole arc was doomed from the start, I think.
Doomed.
Yeah. Not much to say about that one. It wasn't a funny one. It was a...
0-2 is bad.
No, 0-2 is not bad.
0-2 is still my favorite.
0-2. There we go. That's all that really matters in life, is that it's still Astro's favorite.
Exactly.
This last one is from Kawaii Risa-chan, and it's from episode 205, Full Digital Alchemist, which was the... I'm pretty sure that was the final one about Ken, I believe. And here it goes.
The fight he has with Ken in episode 19 is the strongest glimpse we get into what actually makes him work, what's actually important to him. And it's also very important, given what he was in season 1, to keep track of how he uses that in season 2, because he is no longer the little pure kid character. So there is sort of, there's no stereotype for him now. There's no character model for him now. And what he is just TK, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
TK is the best.
I don't know about that.
The next thing is favorite DigiDestin. Do you know what I'm gonna say?
Are you gonna say Davis?
Definitely.
Oh god, no. Keep the fighting in check until you get there. I couldn't find like the best part of that whole segment. But pretty sure what Kairis Chan wanted us to, the whole topic of the way you talked about TK and how that came from a place of fear, that fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool discussion. It was also a cool fight.
It was a cool fight. And kind of, like, TK is kind of a terrifying character. Like, he's terrifying in that he went completely unexamined throughout the entire course of that season.
It's okay. He's an author. It's okay.
I did kind of hope that they would have, that there was like stuff that I missed on initial watching that, like, watching it now would be explained, but no. But as with, we'll get to biggest disappointments later on, but like, there is a silver lining in TK because he's going to be featured in Dry. So like, yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. Cool.
That'll hopefully be cool.
It might still be uncool, but
yeah, I don't have the highest hopes for addressing certain
but
things.
But it's TK, you need hope. It's the crest of hope.
You can't see, but I'm just like sitting here with my mouth open.
So first off, we're going to talk about Digidestined.
Yay!
Woo! All the Digidestined this season. So first off, what were our favorite Digidestined? Who? I guess the people.
TK.
Yeah, mine is still TK.
Wait, what? Oh, I thought you were going to say Davis.
No, I was kidding.
Oh, I thought I was serious.
No.
I mean, you're always much more of a Davis apologist than I was, so I thought it was possible.
I mean, I appreciate Davis.
Do we have Andrew's answers up?
What? Yeah, I have Andrew. Andrew's answer was Yoli, which I didn't see coming.
Because Andrew never actually talks about his opinions. But he usually prefers the girls.
Whatever he hears the best.
So I don't understand how you're all so wrong. My answer is Ken. I mean, obviously, like, that there is no question.
No, Ken becomes boring after he becomes a real Digidestined.
I like Ken after he becomes a real Digidestined.
He's not boring at all.
I think, for me,
you just love every scene with his parents.
I could see him being boring in Try or something. I could see him being a boring character, but like, he wasn't in this season.
Oh my god, is he even going to be in Try? He wasn't on any of the promo. Yeah,
is he going to be in Try?
I mean, like, in the background, or what, assuming 02 is canonical. Like, in this, I assume,
are they gonna
what I hope.
Retcon the entirety of season 2? That's insane.
It's a possibility given what has been revealed now. Very unlikely, I assume. I mean,
wow.
Logical conclusions. But anyway, I assume what they're going to do with the 02 kids in Try is going to be a similar position to the Adventure kids in 02. I hope. As voted on by our listeners, Ken was by far number one.
Of course.
Almost double, not quite double, but double.
He's got the most
double TK.
He's got the most material to work with. But I feel like I've thought about Ken like so much over the years that now there's just all these neglected nuggets of fascination waiting in the other characters.
I guess it is kind of similar to Ty in Adventure, where it's just like, kind of by nature of having the most focus.
Yeah.
Like, he is the most interesting.
Yeah.
Or is at least the most well-developed. Because, like, TK has a lot of interesting things that aren't explored, and then it's like, oh, this just seems not well done. Anyway, it's, like, still interesting, but... but yeah, TK was in second place, then Davis.
TK is also green, so he has my bias.
Oh, and I guess I didn't really explain that these favorite polls were, but maybe I did. I can't remember. Anyway, so on social media, so on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and also Reddit, which I'll explain in a bit, we made these images listing all the Digidestined or whatever category we're going to go through several categories, and then ask people what their favorite were. We didn't have like a formal poll system, it all just replies, and I aggregate all the data and made graphics, and we'll have links in our show notes to these graphics so you can look at to see the results. And yeah, we also asked on Reddit. The weird thing about Reddit is that in all the other forums, and all the Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, it's all people that are following us, and they can follow us on social media and not actually listen to the podcast, but kind of assume there's at least somewhat of a connection there. You know, like, maybe they don't, but like, at least they like know that we are a podcast. Whereas on Reddit, they were kind of, these questions were kind of just posted as like, who's your favorite Digidestined? And the graphic that I posted with that included the Podigious logo and everything, but like, I think most people replied weren't fans of Podigious. They were just people on Reddit passing by and answered and whatever, expressed their opinion. So in all these graphs, it breaks down which answers came from which place. So you can kind of, if you were like, well, I want to know what the Podigious audience said for this, so like, you can just ignore the Reddit answers because it's not clear with Reddit answers if they're actually listeners.
Well, if that's the case, then Davis came in second.
It's true. Yeah. You got a lot of Tumblr votes.
TK got a lot of Twitter votes. Twitter likes TK.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are weird breakdowns like that. Like, in a couple of other ones too. It's just like this person's only votes came from Twitter or Reddit or something. Like, what is going on here?
Twitter for TK.
I mean, it's also like the number of results you're getting is like pretty low. So, I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like this huge outturn of Twitter votes for TK is 5. You know, like, it's a pretty small sample size. There also will be in the show notes links to the interactive versions of these graphs where you can, with those, you can actually like click the label to like remove Twitter or remove Tumblr or remove Reddit. But I made sure that Reddit's always on the far right side so you can kind of most easily visualize without them gone. I also tried to use the like official brand logo, official brand colors for each of the websites, and only then realized that all these social media platforms have the various shades of blue as their color. It's like light blue to darker blue, but yeah, so that's not really too surprising, the results from that one.
No.
So I also wanted to walk through the individual characters, like discuss what we, if we have things to say about them. So Davis.
Davis. I appreciate Davis. I don't think he's a leader, but he's fun.
Yeah, I don't. Izuki's definitely given the leader signifier and everything, but I think we've talked before at length about how like he doesn't really have that leadership role.
No.
And I think a lot of people hate the show for that. Like, he's not really a leader. Why should he be like, it's kind of like the show doesn't really claim to be that he's a leader that much.
Well, it tries, but.
Does it?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, it tries.
I would argue that it tries.
I mean, I think if everyone kind of rallies around Davis, which I mean they make explicitly clear in the dream sequences when he saves everyone. But yeah, it's really not quite the same thing as the leadership role Ty had. And yeah, I don't really recall many times where he like asserted leadership like that.
Yeah, I can't either.
There's also the common criticism that he like doesn't really have like any development, or that like the one episode where he expresses, where he actually has development is the episode makes some sense, the Summer Friendship one.
A friendship one?
Yeah. And what was the problem with that one? I'm trying to remember scenario. It's just that he like doesn't want to hurt Metal Greymon because he's his friend.
There were just like a lot of things wrong with that episode. That was one of the problems. Yeah.
He was like, he didn't want to pick up the A.
Because he didn't feel worthy of being a friend.
Yeah, because he didn't feel worthy of
He didn't want to attack Metal Greymon because he was a friend. But he also didn't feel worthy of being a friend because why? Because he cared too much about being Metal Greymon's friend? Like,
I really don't know.
And then he learned in the end, you need to hurt your friends to like get through to them sometimes, so I'm worthy of the egg. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. And I think it's also a common criticism, which I kind of agree with now, that like, he's very hot-headed towards others in the beginning, especially TK, although that's kind of explained by his jealousy over Kari, but then like is so open-minded towards Ken, which is kind of out of character for his character early on. I don't know, but I feel like we see kind of so little of like what makes his hot-headedness tick that doesn't really feel contradictory to me. It just feels like, okay, that's a little weird, but that's Davis. That's just how he is.
Kind of forgot that he was a hothead.
Yeah, I guess it kind of fades after all. I didn't really think about that.
It's like really only in the beginning.
But I mean, I think it lasts a while, like calling TK by the wrong name for a while. I think that kind of organically fades.
But I just feel like it was always directed at TK.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't really ever at anyone else.
True.
I mean, he'd fight with Yoli, but that's because...
That's also just
Yoli. Yeah.
Like, that's just how he and Yoli are.
So, Yoli.
Yoli.
Yoli had so much promise in the beginning, I feel.
Yoli had promise. She's just there, though.
good analysis.
Yeah, kinda.
The show is not concerned with Yoli or Cody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better about it than Frontier is about its non...
Oh, that's true.
Like, Yoli and Cody
There's
actually...
There's like four of them, isn't there?
There ended up being six. There were six by the end.
Yeah, five for the most
of it. It only cared about two of them, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we're not talking about Frontier. I'm talking about Yoli. Yeah.
Well, but it's the same thing. Like, it mostly only cared about...
Ken, actually. Davis no, it Ken. Mostly only cared about Ken.
Yeah.
It sometimes pretended to care about TK and Kari.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the... Adventure used the technique of splitting up the characters so much, and if Zero Two didn't really do that, I don't know if it was like they couldn't or they didn't want to rely on that anymore or whatever reason, they still had character-centric episodes, but like they always felt so shallow in comparison. Maybe it was that like in Adventure you had, when they split up, they had pairings, so like you had to see like how this kind of like seeing how Joe interacts with Sora tells you more about Joe than like the episode, like the episode prior to that, where the episode that's Joe centric, where Kakumon first appears. I think you learn more about Joe when he's alone with Sora than you do in that episode where Kakumon first appears. That makes any sense.
Sure.
I think you might be right about that. Yeah. Although I think you learn more about Sora in her Sora centric episode than you do in the episode where it's Joe and Sora. So your mileage may vary.
True, yeah. True. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, these characters get split off at times. Like...
Yeah, but for stupid reasons and for short times.
Yeah, it's always short durations. Like, I'm thinking of, like, TK and Cody wanting to observe TK alone while, like, they all split off for no reason to, like, all go to the same place to look for Destiny Stone. Like, and that's, like, 5 minutes.
Well, then they fight again in the Daemon Core episode.
That's true, they do split off for that. And I feel like that's, like, a brief moment of, like, actually getting to learn about the characters.
Are we talking about World Tour?
No, the Daemon Core.
Daemon Core.
The World Tour, I feel like, had potential for that, but, like, was so rushed that, like, in giving each, giving them only half an episode, there's not enough time for them to actually...
It's also they were paired with not each other. Like, they were paired with O1 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was weirder.
Yeah.
Anything specific about Cody?
Poor Cody.
Cody had the most potential, I feel. The most, like, untapped potential. Because, like, technically, he was in a position to be important to so many parts of the show, and he was just always overlooked by the characters and by the writers, I feel.
Yeah, here's another case of, like, there are so many things that, like, you would bring up while we were discussing him, like, oh, it's so much, like, so interesting that he's, like, representing the more, like, Japanese spiritual side to contrast with TK's Western spiritualism, and then, like, didn't really go anywhere, and...
It just feels like if his dad was best friends with Oikawa, who was, like, the main villain for a while, it just feels like he should have just been more important, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, he gets... a bit of time with Oikawa in the last few episodes, but it...
And he got, like, a bit of time with Black War Greymon, and...
B-dubs.
B-dubs. Okay.
But it just feels like he never changed those people. Like, by the time that... Like, I'm thinking the last episode, you know, Oikawa already had Mayurismon out of him, and it's just like, yeah, now they're buddies or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a little too late.
Yeah. And then, like, what does Cody do? Like, Cody doesn't help Black War Greymon get over being Black War Greymon.
No.
That's an interesting way of thinking about it. So now on to TK and Kari. Were they in the show?
Were they in the show? Well, TK was definitely there. They tried to suck Kari out of it by putting her in the Dark Ocean.
I like that you put TK and Kari together and are not discussing them as individual people.
They cannot be discussed as individual people.
They got so little in the season that, like, I genuinely, like, I mean, TK actually, yeah, I mean, Kari, it's actually weird how, like, they're grouped together so much, but, like, TK definitely gets more focused this season.
TK totally gets more.
At least in terms of, like the stuff with Yoli and Kari is kind of, like, you know, like, they kind of have a little conflict for an episode, and then that's resolved, and they, you know, devolve, and it's all totally cool. Cody and TK actually, like, Cody ponders TK for a while, and also TK has his dark side, and also that's totally unresolved, and it's weird given how much people complain about, like, unresolved things like Dagomon, which works because it's unresolved, or, like, Daemon, which, or, like, things like that, like, I feel like the fact that they're still kind of out there makes them more potent, but then they don't complain about, like,
TK.
These complete dangled threads, that I think are so much more... It kind of is depressing, because it's kind of like those big, like, I'm the big bad villain, I haven't been defeated. Like, that's what people remember more than, like, these understated character moments that are just completely forgotten about, and, like, totally... I don't know. I wish people cared about Seth more.
Yeah, but they don't.
I mean, it's like, I think it's just, like, the farther you step away from it, that's what you remember more. Like, you know, like, when you're 5 years off watching Digimon 02, like, what I remember is, like, Malamutsumon and Dagomon and Daemon, not, like, the TK's outbursts, you know. Maybe that's just me.
It's not just you, but yeah, like, I viscerally remembered his fight with Ken.
I remember TK's outburst more.
Yeah.
And Kari...
I mean, Kari and TK actually had a lot of screen time this season. It's just this season was not about changing them.
I feel like they had screen time, but they were just, like, hollow shells of their old people there.
They had screen time, but a lot of times they were plot devices, especially Kari. And, I mean, she was in the first season, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's weird given how much experience they had that they would just sit as backseat drivers to the whole, like, team in general. I don't know.
I mean, it's just like, how, I don't even know how they feel about being like, why are we still important and the other original six aren't? Like, there's no contemplation of that. They're just like, cool, whatevs.
Well, they've always been special.
Yeah.
Especially Kari.
But how do they feel about their specialness? I don't know.
We don't know, because they're never going to address that ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They kind of address it with Kari. They never address it with TK.
Never, ever.
No. Never, ever. And they're never going to. I don't care what happens in Try, they're just never going to do it with TK.
All right.
Now on to the best character. Objectively the best character.
TK?
TK?
I think you're mispronouncing Ken. Wow.
I mean, Ken is good. Ken is a good character, and I know he is.
Yeah, like I said before, like, he shines because he has so much more screen time and writing devotion to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how much there is to... It's also like a lot of the good stuff with Ken isn't really below the surface, you know? I feel like we didn't really, like, in diving into things and like trying to analyze the show, we didn't really dig up too much about Ken aside from the... I still find it important that he, like, before he breaks down, that his Digimon Emperor persona is the side of Sam that only Sam showed to Ken, and that his public persona is the side of Sam that Sam showed to the public. But, like, aside from that, like, I feel like everything about Ken's character is above the surface, is, like, given enough time that, like, it doesn't really benefit too much from, like, digging, like, a lot of stuff Digimon does.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much there is to say about it, because it's, like...
We said it all already, yeah.
Yeah.
I did... have listed to talk about the older kids for the last section, but I don't know if that actually matters. I don't know if we have enough to say about them.
I like Ty better in season 2 than in... I'm not sure if that's true anymore. I came into this rewatch liking season 2 Ty better than season 1 Ty. I'm not sure I like him quite the same way as I used to, seeing the decisions he made regarding the younger kids this time around.
What kind of decision?
Like, you know, they gotta buck up and kill some Digimon. That was a decision he made for them.
That one was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
I don't know. I guess I support that decision more because it's like, I think their idea that they could just like not deal with Lady Devimon or Marine Angemon, or no, Marine Devimon. They're like
Marine Angemon. That's a fun
Marine Angemon going around tearing up the town with his cuteness. Oh god. Anyway, I felt similarly about Izzy. Like, I expected to, my memory, I liked Izzy more in season 2 than season 1, but like, he also doesn't really have much character.
He's not there as much as I thought he was, you know?
I think when he is, he serves a very important plot focus, or a very plot role, very important plot role for most of the series, like being the information dumper.
Right.
But like, he doesn't really have the, like, what made him like fun season 1. He's not really eccentric anymore. He's like,
you complained about him. You all you did in season 1 was complain about him. Just saying.
I still think the, and maybe it's the dub problem, but that, like, whenever they wanted to express that he was smart, it always showed the hands of the writers actually not knowing what they're talking about, which I still think is really terrible. But I guess it really didn't come up in season 2 that much, because he wasn't, like, it was more there like background decoration for like him just walking around being like, I just picked up an infrared signal on my Digivice port Ethernet jack. I'm bad at improvising bad technology stuff. Hack into the mainframe, that kind of thing. But yeah, I do remember at the end of season 1 being like, I think I like season 2 Izzy better. So now I'm kind of reevaluating and be like, I don't know. Our war game Izzy is the best Izzy.
Yes, I agree with that. It is an accurate statement.
And I think we're all sad that Sora didn't get like any screen time.
Always sad about Sora.
Yeah,
sad about Sora.
Let's not talk about Sora.
Sad about Sora. And yeah, that's true for, like, also true for Mimi, also true for Joe.
Okay, Joe was awesome this season. Don't talk to me.
I was saying, I said that he doesn't really show up that much, does he?
No, he doesn't. But when he does, he's awesome. Except for his hair. Not a fan of his haircut.
Okay. I didn't even notice his haircut.
His haircut is pretty bad.
So should we resume the shipping discussion now? Not sure how to do this, actually. Sure.
Takari should have been a thing, even if briefly.
But okay, I think it makes sense for them, like, once they're in, like, fourth or fifth grade to not be dating, but, like, in Try, when they're in, like, I forget what they're going to be, like, seventh or eighth? Wait, they're going to be in...
They're older.
They're not in high school. They're in their green outfits, which means they're in either sixth, seventh, or eighth grade. Or no.
Yeah.
7, 8, or 9. So like, I feel like that's possible with them to have a like cheesy romantic experience at that age.
I want it. Give it to me. Try.
Okay, but I'm still waiting for Ken and Davis.
Still waiting.
I'll always be waiting.
Yes, you're gonna forever wait.
Yeah.
So when I tried thinking of my favorite ship for the season, there are 66 different choices.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah.
Take every Cody mix out of there.
What?
Yes, that's not cool.
What? Okay, like he's too young?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but you would still ship TK and Kari from season one, wouldn't you?
No. Well, okay, you know, it's different because there are no other kids Cody's age.
Right.
Yeah, it's like they're the same age, so that makes it somewhat cute-ish.
Okay, so anyway, my favorite ship is Daiken, which for people who aren't aware, I mean, it's kind of a weird shipping name because it's like using the Japanese name and not actually referring to a Japanese character, but it's Davis and Ken, Daisuke and Ken. But anyway.
I ship it.
It's a good ship.
It's, I wanted to kind of examine what it means to ship, because I...
What it means to ship.
Because I don't ship them in the sense of I want them to necessarily be a romantic... I don't necessarily want them to be, like, each super gay and...
What do you want, then?
What does super gay mean? We gotta unpack all of this.
What do you mean by anything?
like, I don't... Them both on the... The far, whichever side, I assume, actually not on which side, it was left or right on the spectrum, on the Kinsey scale? Is that what it's called?
What are you talking about, Jeff?
Oh, I don't know what
it's called. It's the Kinsey scale, yes.
Like, I do not, when I say that I ship them, I do not mean that I would like them to both be 100% gay.
No, nobody's ever saying that.
Like, maybe they're both a little bi? Maybe it's not even a romantic relationship?
Yeah, that's fine. That's legit definitions of ship.
Yeah, no, but like...
You don't want them to kiss each other?
I don't know.
I would love experimenting Daiken. They like each other and they just like want to see how it goes, and then it doesn't work out, and then Ken marries Yuli. Like, that's fine.
Yes!
Try!
Try, do it.
Try is not going to do it.
Nope.
Okay, let me look up the head writer and let me just email them.
Try, you better give me at least Takari. I will be so mad.
Did you guys just miss that I said I was going to email the head writer?
Yeah, I heard you. Go for it.
I ignore you.
So, okay, that was just my number one, because I have other ones. What were all your people number ones?
Well, I didn't look at all 66 jillion combos.
Okay, it's 55 minus without any Cody involved. So that's more manageable. So for this one, the listener favorite prompt, I didn't want to depict all 66 of them, so I just used a picture of a ship.
I know.
I think it's really clever because it's when Marine Devimon attacks and it's a marriage happening on a ship.
Yes, I got it, Jeff.
It's so perfect.
I don't know. I don't care about anybody else but Takari.
I don't think I can pick between Takari and Daiken.
I mean, Daiken would be cool. Beyond this, I'm like, I'm so tired of Ty, Sora, Matt. Like, I don't care anymore.
Considering them.
And I'm not made to care about other characters, so I just don't care.
So I'm actually not sure the name of this one, but my second favorite, I would guess that based on Japanese names, the shipping name would be Daiko for Davis and Yuli, or Daisuke and Miyako. Huh. But I also don't mean in a romantic sense necessarily, just they like their interactions.
You're not using ship right.
No. He can totally be using that in that way, because it just means relationship. It doesn't necessarily mean romantic relationship.
My least favorite ship is Daikari, because no.
Ew, yeah, Daikari.
So yeah. That's Davis and Kari, and no. Yes. No.
Yeah, I agree.
Keep them away from each other.
Yeah, I don't.
So Andrew did not give us answers for this one.
Andrew doesn't care about ships.
Do you guys have least favorite ones, or do you agree?
I don't deal in least favorite things. Unless it's really, really, like, I have, like, massive hate for it.
I mean, this is just like, I'm just like grossed out whenever they're on screen, so, or whenever they like voted. Also, like, Jeff Nimoy's comments that he wished they got together. I'm like, no!
Childhood shattered.
Or I think it was Jeff Dingley's comments where he was like, oh, I think TK likes Kari, but Kari likes Davis. No.
Yeah, no.
No, wrong.
Like, I could actually see Davis and Kari, like, almost together, like, once for, like, 2 seconds.
Right, right.
And then just not.
Right, I could see them having a fail relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They thought they stared into each other's eyes and thought about it for 2 seconds, and then were like, nah.
Yeah. I can see it's very similar. It reminds me a lot of in Parks and Recreation. Actually, I think by the time you watch this, they had already may not have been a thing. But Tom and Anne,
they were not a thing.
No, but like Tom's character is very much like kind of Davis, like very like persistent and like jokey and like also like hits on people a lot. And Anne is much more like the straight woman and like. No, and like for some reason I forget why they date, but like they date for a little bit, like goes horribly, they never like they like will never speak it again and that kind of stuff afterwards.
That's how you see Davis and Kari going.
I think it's actually more complicated in Parks and Rec, but I forget it now because I didn't like the relationship anyway, like Davis and Kari. So I think we've touched on this a bit, but like what I think has the most potential for Try is Ty or oh my god, not Ty. It's going to sound gross when I finish the sentence. TK and Kari, not Ty and Kari.
Ty and Kari.
Well, I mean, as a brother and sibling, as a sibling relationship, maybe. But, like, no, not as anything else. But yeah, I think we talked about that enough. But, like, I really want to see them start to date and break apart and what goes wrong.
You want to see them break up?
It's just, like, maybe not, like, a sad breakup. It's like, oh, we're actually too much like siblings.
I could have them break up if Kari likes girls.
Also, isn't one of the insert songs for 02 called Breakup?
I don't remember.
Actually, not sure what season it's from. There's definitely an insert song called Breakup.
I really don't know.
It's the 02 Evolution song. that's what they're foreshadowing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Also, least potential for Try is the whole Tyora Serato love triangle, which I just don't want to see.
They're going to get into it again. You know they are.
No, they're totally going to get into it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm actually okay with it if they just show me. I'm okay with it if it's more like they just show Matt and Sora together being cute and it's not about like, hey, look, Ty is still right here watching, being a creeper or whatever.
I think for me, it will really depend on how they handle Sora.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, especially, there's a piece of feedback that we'll get to. This is kind of weird because I feel like if it's edited, maybe we'll already talk about this. But anyway, like I feel like there's a complex relationship where like the show doesn't really treat Sora that well, which then compounds on the fans not treating her well. And it's like it becomes like the show is kind of like doesn't really spell out why she and Matt start dating. So then fans really treat that poorly and like think about her being like a traitor and like duplicitous and stuff. And it's like, I just feel like if the show could take a route where it's like they show her being really sweet to Matt and then going up to Ty and being like, oh, but I still like you too. Like, I really don't want to go down that route.
I don't want that.
Yes,
I just want the cuteness with Sora and Matt. And I want them to get over showing Ty and Sora doing anything.
But the hairpin.
Like, or anything like romantic.
But the hairpin, Ashley. So the favorite ship from the audience is by far TK and Kari, and then second place Davis and Ken. So that's not really surprising, I guess. And there were also not surprising that there were the most votes on that one from Tumblr. So yeah, first Wormund. Off, favorite partners you want? Yep, Wormund. Ash, say Wormund.
I'm torn. I'm actually
no!
Because like,
what are you going to say?
I love Wormund. I also love Wormund. Yes.
Okay, Vivian is pretty cool, but he's no Wormund. Ash, do the right thing.
Do we have a favorite? No, we have a favorite evolved Digimon leader, right? Okay, then my favorite is Vivian.
Okay. No, wait, that's the wrong thing. No.
Too bad.
I mean, yeah, we have a second. So we're doing this. We're doing this pretty different in last season. I think last season just said like favorite Digimon design and favorite Digimon character. Maybe this season we're breaking it up into like favorite partner Digimon, Chibi Evolution, Digi Egg, Armored Digi Evolution, standard level Digi Evolution, and Digimon design. So we have everything covered, and don't really have to like compare Wormund to Imperial Digimon. Like those aren't really such different categories. But I really don't like Wormund's design. I love his character, but like it's an ugly little worm, little, but what'd you call it, like a bugworm? Or was the word?
A bagworm.
Bagworm. Yeah, bugworm seems kind of weird. Well,
Wormmon is actually probably a silkworm.
Mm.
That's what I was thinking.
Gross.
Minomon is a bagworm.
Oh, still gross.
You're gross.
I love Minomon. He's my favorite Chibovolution.
No, spoiler.
We're not there yet.
So Andrew's favorite is Armadillomon.
Armadillo.
Don't laugh about it.
Andrew is always coming out of left field.
I love Andrew's wild card answers.
I'm so sad that Andrew can't be here to like back up his choices.
It is upsetting.
He wouldn't anyway. He would actually probably just like not say anything.
Because they don't align with ours.
He would just not say what his choices are.
The audience's responses. Whoa, Wormmon won by a landslide.
Yeah. Hawkmon and Gatomon beat Vemon?
Oh, not that much. Going down.
if you count out Reddit, then Gatomon beat out Hawkmon.
Mm, that's true.
I feel like the way like we have this like, oh, you might want to not count Reddit or not, it just basically lets you like choose the more favorable.
Like, do yeah, I want to count Reddit or like not? More.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that Wormmon won by such a landslide.
Okay, Gatomon, you get characterization left over from like season one.
And like none in this season.
Yeah. Patamon, you also get that, but Patamon kind of just sucks, so.
Throwing down.
It's true. Hawkmon is interesting in that he's not the same gender as Yuli.
Yeah, that's an interesting
concept.
He has
a funny accent.
But yeah.
Like, the others aren't given, I don't know, they don't have a tragic backstory. Is basically their problem.
Hmm. Okay, so now on to favorite Chibivolution.
Minomon.
Nope. Minomon, like, over
no,
Leafmon?
I love him! He's so
adorable.
Well, my pick is Chibamon. I mean,
biased.
I kind of
you're
looked into that because, like,
biased.
I look back at our logo from season one of Bodemon, and I'm just like, I remember thinking before we made the logo, like, Bodemon's so cute. I look back at it now after being used to Chibamon, I'm like, this looks so ugly. Oh my god. Like, I'm glad we didn't print shirts for the first season because, like, I would not want to wear that now. Like, Chibamon is so much better.
Bodemon is much cuter than Chibamon. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Throwing down.
Oh.
But since Bodemon's not a choice on this, I am going to have to go. Oh, this is hard. They're all so cute.
They all are so cute.
Not Tokomon.
I mean, I included Tokomon and Salamon in this image, but like,
I'm putting an X over Tokomon.
See, I like Tokomon until he opens his mouth. But like, for real, they're so cute.
There are so many of them. Like, I mean, there are only a few that, like, I don't love Upamon.
See, that's who I'm between Upamon and Demi-Fimon right now.
Oh, wow.
Now. Yeah.
Choose Upamon to be the weirdo.
I might. but Demi Vimon's so cute.
I really like Subumon's little thingy thing.
Which little thingy thing?
Subumon's like a hair.
Head.
Like
thing?
One spike.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were talking about that or his one tooth.
Oh, one little tooth. Oh. And his cheeks.
Alright, I'm picking Demi Vimon. Alright.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to sit with that. Okay.
Important life decisions made.
This is hurting me, actually. Upamon's so cute. No.
So what were... So Andrew's choice was also Demi-Vimon.
Okay. Actually, I feel like now I should change my choice. But no, that's okay.
I was going to say bros before... I don't know. Bros before Digihose? I don't know.
No. Oh, Demi-Vimon wins with Reddit.
Oh, whoa. The Reddit voted for him in spades.
He loses if not Reddit, though.
Yeah, he only got 2 votes from outside Reddit and then like 8 from Reddit, so.
Yeah. If you don't count Reddit, Poromon wins.
And all from Tumblr? What is with Tumblr?
And all from Poromon? Tumblr. I mean, Poromon's cute.
But like, why Tumblr? These like site breakdowns are really weird.
I feel like they tell me something about people on the internet.
But what does it tell you?
I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out one day.
I mean, there does seem to be somewhat of a gender bias. I wouldn't be surprised if the demographics of Reddit are much more male and Tumblr are much less male.
That's true.
But I don't know if that necessarily means that, like, they would find the similarly gendered character to be cuter. I would feel like it might be the other way around.
And Pormon's a boy anyway.
No.
What? Huh.
Boys only ever pick boys unless they're being weird.
I actually always thought of Pormon as a girl.
Hawkmon's a boy.
Right, but I never really but like...
Pormon's a boy. He's just pink.
Isn't Pormon's voice girlier than Hawkmon's? I can't remember what Pormon's voice
is. Yeah, because he's a baby. All their voices are girlier.
I kind of like the idea of him switching genders when he digivolves. and no one batting an eye about it.
I know.
All right, that's cool.
I mean, we need genderqueer characters in Digimon. All we have, aside from that, is Sylphimon. I think someone voted for Pormon because of that reasoning. Like, give me more genderqueer Digimon characters, please.
Seriously?
Favorite Digi-Egg? This is a weird poll.
I don't really like any of them.
I don't quite understand this poll, but Courage.
I mean, like, the design of the eggs. And Courage. The image I made, I kind of was a trick. I was wondering if people would choose the Digi-Egg Miracles if I didn't include it. And a couple did. But
oh, yeah. Wait, is Davis's the one of Miracles or Power?
Wait, what?
There are two golden Digi-Eggs, Davis's and Willis's. Which one is Davis's?
I mean, he definitely has Miracles in the show. In the movie, I think it's the same, but I don't think that one's Power, is it? I think it's like, I can't remember.
Well, I don't like any of these.
And we're talking about the designs, by the way, not. I don't know what else we'll be talking about. The characterization of the Digi-Eggs.
Hope and Sincerity are the top? What?
I actually kind of like Hope.
Really? I don't understand Hope being the top.
Out of these eight that I'm looking at, I'm just like, Hope is the only one that even looks like an egg, so.
Also, if you can count Miracles, then obviously Miracles, but
I might pick Hope over Miracles.
So, according to Digimon Wiki, the thing that Willis gets is Digi-Egg of Destiny.
Oh, fancy.
And there is also apparently a Digi-Egg of Kindness. That I think is in the Wonder Song. Oh, it's in the CD dramas.
Mm.
And also in Digimon World DS, which I played. I don't remember that. Oh, well. Yeah, I'm baffled by Hope being so high. And Sincerity as well.
It's because they actually look like eggs, and an egg is a pleasing shape. Nobody likes the flip-flop with a rusty nail through it.
Oh, God. But, I mean, the Courage is also an egg with a nail through it.
I don't like the nail.
Okay, so now on to favorite armor of Digivolutions. Mine is Flamedrawn.
Flamedrawn.
We knew that, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Flamedrawn here. I mean, is Magnemon a choice?
So yeah, it's Magnemon if Magnemon counts, Flamedrawn if Magnemon doesn't count.
Yeah.
Nope, it's still Flamedrawn.
Rageramon won?
Yeah, Rageramon won the poll.
What?
And then Shuriman. Flamedrawn was third place.
BS. Shuriman?
Listeners, why are you so strange?
I mean, all right.
This poll was a little bit weird because this is the one that I included. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is so biased against Pegasusmon. So it includes on here Pegasusmon, Pegasmon, Pegasusmon.
What did
you do? I was typing this at like 3 a.m. with you rolling over being like... And...
You know what? We have two rooms for a reason.
Well, yeah, I needed the big screen.
No.
I actually kind of did because it was like multiple windows and stuff. But anyway, so if we combine all those Pegasusmon variants, he would still be third. He'd be fourth place. Okay.
Yeah.
Behind Rageramon, Shuriman, and Flamedrawn.
Yeah.
Shuriman, yeah, I mean, I guess he is a ninja, which is cool.
I like his voice more than I like his design. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Andrew have a pick for that? Andrew picked Shuriman / Samarimon.
Andrew, you're so weird. Samarimon?
Yeah, why'd you pick Samarimon?
I think Samarimon's cool.
I think he's just trolling us.
No, Andrew's not like that.
She's not like...
Maybe his brain is fried from finals.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I question these choices.
Okay, so now on to Sand Digivolution, which is a much harder. There are a lot more.
Are you sure? Because I have an answer.
I have an answer.
It's also weird because like, I didn't know whether to count Angemon, Angewoman, Magnangemon. Anyway.
Doesn't matter because the answer is Stingmon.
Hold on.
Stingmon!
Okay, there despite... We go. My voice acting right there. My answer is actually Sylphimon.
Oh, yeah. Sylphimon's got a pretty good design, but I like Stingmon better.
That's what I consider the hard. Yeah, I definitely pick Stingmon with Sylphimon as a runner-up.
I do not remember. I feel like as a child, I probably liked Snigmon the most. But this time watching it, I'm like, oh my god, I love Silphimon. I just like can't.
See, I was the opposite. Silphimon was always my really? Favorite. But like, as a design, I think I like Stingmon better now.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about Silphimon is weird and androgynous, and I'm in love with it.
Silphimon's certainly my favorite. Silphimon's my favorite DNA digivolution by far.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Stingmon, I think, works so effectively in the show as the reveal of Wormmon's, like, is so much, like, there's so much build up to, like, Ken having this like pathetic looking rookie that like, oh, is he, like, of course, even if Ken didn't hate him, like why would Ken want someone so pathetic? And then like he develops this like super badass thing once Ken finally accepts him. Like, it's such a rewarding and effectively built up moment. I can never really dissociate that. And like, I feel like without that, his design, I wouldn't love that much. I'm like, I don't like bugs, so.
But he's like a cool looking bug.
See, for me, like, I don't have any of that thoughtful anything built up. I just like Stingmon's attack and his wings. Like, he's fast, he's green, like, he's everything I he's want green. In a Digimon.
It always comes back to that. Oh, see, I look at Silphimon and I'm just like, what are you? Why are you glorious? I don't understand.
Silphimon is great. Like, Silphimon is super great. I'm not denying that.
And then who won? So, Andrew also whatever Stingmon.
Okay. I guess he does have some taste left still.
So, Stingmon, not by far, won the listener favorite poll, but only with a large chunk of Reddit. Without Reddit,
yeah, that's true.
They would have lost to Silphimon by far. Also, there seems to be, this is a really interesting breakdown. Like, there are almost as many people voted for Stingmon on Reddit as voted for Silphimon on Tumblr, which also seems like a
true.
Okay, but that's four people, or that's five people versus four people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not very many people. We're looking at graphs and be like, look at all these big trends, when it's like, Digimon fandom isn't that big, guys. we also have, that's the last one with a poll, but the final one we have, which I only have 6% battery, so we need to rush through it, but favorite Digimon design.
Definitely not Imperiumon.
Yeah.
I really struggle with this one, just trying to brainstorm my answer. Because it's such a big pool. We don't have a handy graphic.
That is a really big pool. Alright, for this one, I'll pick Silphimon.
I felt like I had no clear winner, but that by a tiny smidgen, it would be Imperial Digimon Fighter Mode.
You are wrong. Sorry.
I hit my mic. I think there were comments in the last episode about how, like, they didn't like Imperial Digimon Fighter Mode, the color scheme. Like, the same thing you guys echoed, like, not liking the color scheme, and then, like, Paladin Mode fixes it. I'm like, no, what?
Paladin Mode doesn't fix it.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, I thought you guys said that.
No.
Maybe that's Andrew.
Maybe.
Andrew voted
nothing
for...
Nothing fixes this.
Andrew said Imperial Digimon Fighter Mode / Paladin Mode, so...
You guys... No, you don't have taste.
So we're back from a little break of a day because we recorded way too much and there's way too much to talk about 02, but we actually forgot in our follow-up section to actually talk about the meat of follow-up, which is comments from our community, and mostly from last episode, but also some older comments I think we'll get to. And the first thing I want to bring up was just that there were a lot of comments, I can't remember specific people who mentioned this, but a lot of comments that, like, they rewatched Revenge of Digimon recently or because of us or whatever and went back to it and got the sense that, like, they remembered it being really cool and were like, oh, this was not what I remembered, which is what I felt. But I mean, the thing I wanted to, like, mention about that is just that I think that, and maybe this is just like being too optimistic about things and like finding the positive in things to a fault, but that, like, the fact that what we remember of it is really positive, even if upon direct rewatching it's not that positive, like the fact that we have these really positive memories of it when we're far removed from it, I think is a testament to a strength of the movie. But yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading too much into that. Okay, so, and the next comment is from Airdramon, who points out that, who basically, so this was on With the Will, and they talk about how the character songs for Chika and Kari, the reflection of the two of us in our youth, I wonder about when it was from. If I had realized you were always by me, right from a long ago day. But in the end, she states, it's too precious to be called love. So, and Erdramon takes that to mean that, like, that Chika has, wait, no.
It's too precious to be called love does not mean it doesn't mean anything in particular.
Wait, hold on. I didn't frame this well. Okay, so Erijimon writes in talking about the character CDs for Takaru and Hikari in Japanese. So in Takaru's character song called Focus, he apparently is asking Hikari who the focus of her heart is. And there's a line Erijimon quotes, "All I want to know is who is the focus of your heart." And in Hikari's song, which I assume they're like kind of separate, and like maybe the narrative, like stitching these two together as one being a question and the other being a response, might not be valid. I'm not really sure how these character songs are laid out. I assume they're kind of like separate entities. So I'm not really sure how much of a stretch this is or not. But in Hikari's song, she says, "The reflection of the two of us in our youth. I wonder about when it was from. If I'd realized you were always by me right from a long ago day." And then the end, she says, "It's too precious to be called love." And so this is Erijimon. Erijimon takes this to mean that, also Erijimon is a user, not a character in the show. Anyway, so Erijimon takes that to mean that Hikari is saying that she doesn't love Takaru because it's something, a different kind of love.
I mean, it could be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Yeah, it is a weird phrasing, but it does kind of fit with my feeling that like it is a more paternal thing. It kind of reminds me of the episode of CCS of Cardcaptor Sakura, where she realizes that her affection for Yukito, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That her affection for him is more of a familial, fatherly love than a romantic love.
I am not sure Sakura ever had that realization. Yeah.
Buying any of this. Are you?
Yeah.
Wait, there's an episode about this.
Okay. I mean, she gives up on him, but I don't. Shaoran decides that his feeling for Yukito is different from his feelings for Sakura. I remember Sakura giving up on Yukito. I don't remember what her rationale was. I don't remember her actually having that realization.
So I remember there being a moment where like they like superimpose like her dad and like there being some connection with the dad.
Well, yeah, because her dad is also the reincarnation of Cloud Reed, and Yukito is like made out of that energy too.
And I thought that was like why she was so attracted to him, because
no,
felt like dad.
No. No.
Like,
No. I mean, yeah, Yukito is like her dad. Like Yukito, Ariel, and dad all have, and her dad all have the same smile. But
that's more of a clamp thing, maybe.
More of a clamp thing, partially. but no, they like draw attention to it. But no, it's like the whole thing in Cardcaptors is people who have power are attracted to power, but they are particularly attracted to the powers of those that are going to help them. But I do not think she ever described her love towards Yukito as familial.
Okay, I don't care, because fundamental phrasing of it's more precious than love or whatever is just like cheesy romance novels being like it's more than love.
Exactly. I would be interested in seeing the actual Japanese there.
This connection, I don't know, it seems interesting, and I like the theory or headcanon, but I think at this point it's kind of a stab in the dark for what Tri will reveal about their relationship, maybe, who knows. And the next thing is Adventure Hearts on Tumblr wrote a blog post talking, kind of inspired by our discussion of Revenge of the Mormon, and not really spying directly to us, but talking about the entire Tiora moment, quote-unquote moment, and kind of like how it's problematic in itself, and also fanon's discussion of it. And you should go check it out. The parts of it I thought were interesting to mention were that they speculate that the driving force for the Tiora-ness in the movies was likely the hands of Reiko Yoshida, who was the writer of, I believe, all of the adventure movies. I'm not sure about the first adventure teaser movie kind of thing, but she definitely wrote Our War Game and Revenge of Jiboromon. But Adventure Hearts mentions that like the moment itself, like they kind of wish that it wasn't in the movie because it kind of makes Sora look bad. I don't know. I kind of gonna take issue with that interpretation. That like I feel like it's weird to blame Sora for that, to like think that it makes her look bad, to like the fact that she, you know, like the wind blows her towards a person, then she reaches out to stabilize herself. You know, like I feel like as a fandom, we all kind of read too much into this. But
they put that scene in there on purpose also, like that they chose to do that.
So like I that's why I feel conflicted about it, because it's like we should be reading too much into things. We should be reading a lot into things, and like there was a reason why I selected that and they didn't select a scene where she was blowing towards Matt. But I also think that, like, the fandom's interpretation that, like, it makes her seem fickle and then it makes her seem like she's toying around with Ty, like, I think that's, like, so... It seems really gross to me.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so here's a related comment from Risa in our comment section. And they basically mentioned that fans shouldn't be shaming Sora with, like, totally agreement. So I'm just going to read this quote from their post. I understand that it can be upsetting to not see certain characters and end up together, but a lot of fans seem to have some vitriol towards Sora for not choosing Ty. We should all agree that she's a fictional character, and she should be able to make her own choices regarding who she dates without being harassed for it. And yeah, I mean, shaming fictional people is different than shaming real people, but I really don't think it is. You know, like, shaming fictional people reinforces shaming real people. And it's, yeah, I mean, it reflects the attitudes that we have towards real people, how we treat and talk about fictional characters.
Real people also should not be shamed or harassed for their personal life choices either.
Controversial opinion, Ash.
Yeah. I live on the edge.
I want to shame Ashley for eating the pretzels.
You have been already doing that.
Yeah, you've already done that.
Shame.
Okay.
And we post this on social media, but also, I wanted to mention on the podcast too that Martin P. sent us a drawing of Angelmon and Vimon and put headphones on top of Vimon, which is really cute. And it was a really cool drawing, and just check it out because it was cool. So this comment from Nan, I wanted to read this bit talking, and they're talking about Revenge of Dubormon. And they said, crap movie, but Ken and Davis are cuties, and that's honestly enough to sustain my interest. 02 is like my underachieving child. It just fails to reach the bar time and time again, but I can't help but love it unconditionally anyway. I actually think listening to you all work through this season actually made me appreciate 02 more. I can't think of any specific points at the moment, but I remember having a lot of, holy shit, I never thought of it that way, moments, so thanks. And yeah, I think their interpretation of 02 as underachieving child is really funny. But also their feedback that, like, we've made them think about things in new ways, I don't know, it's really touching because it's like, that's the value I get out of the podcast too, and I'm glad that we can, like, share that, and yeah, glad that other people feel it too. And last comment was just from Togetok. They mentioned how Diabormon seems to be influenced by the Y2K bug, and I was like, oh my god, how did I not make that connection before? And that's basically the extent of my comment about that, because, like, duh, it is such a Y2K fear-inspired thing. I mean, it's a bug. It, like, goes around affecting the internet, like, changing traffic signals and stuff. It's, like, such a... So Y2K. To what's Y2K. And that's the end of that. Ashley, you ready? Do-do-do-do. So the next segment is favorite villains.
Whoa.
Ashley, who is your favorite villain?
Ken.
Yeah, I was about to say, are there actual choices besides Ken?
Is there a competition here?
I chose someone else.
Who did you choose?
I don't know, you're making me regret it.
Was it Oikawa?
No.
Mummy-mon.
I'm not sick.
Are you Kenny-mon?
Why are you sick? I mean, Oikawa was my runner-up, but my...
Oh, Dagomon.
What?
No, I have no idea.
Why are you guys struggling so much?
My own is mod.
Are you looking at the graphic?
No.
I am now.
Because I forgot to put him on the graphic, actually.
What?
Somehow.
I have wait, who is even left?
Wait, let me think. Black War Greymon?
Yes.
Did we say
him
already?
I accept that.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot him on the graphic, though. Like, ugh.
It's because you don't think he's actually a bad guy.
Yeah, Ken has the same problem, though. Like, he explicitly goes from being... But he also has so much more time devoted to him.
Yeah, but he was, like, actually a bad guy.
No, but he was like, bad.
Black War Greymon, as much as I have, like, so many issues with the pacing of plotting and everything of when he is the villain, it's... I don't know, he affected me the most as a child. I
would say Black War Greymon is my runner-up, sure.
He, when I chose a username for a Digimon forum in... I actually remember the date, February 26th.
That's really sad. You're sad. Don't say that.
Because it was, like, there was, like, seniority based on when you joined of, like, months, which is kind of a crazy thing right now. That, like, if you were there for 2 months, like, you were eligible to be a mod, and, like, you can only be there mod if you've been there for 2 months. And I was, like, you would, like, notice how long people have been there and, like, measure in months. And it's a crazy thing about now because it's, like, months fly by in, like, 2 seconds. But anyway, I remember because it would be, like, you had, like, month anniversary. And, like, yeah, it is pretty sad. Anyway, I chose my username based on him. I mean, but I guess that was when 02 was airing, so, you know, it wasn't, like, didn't really see the full arc. I was like, he's cool. But I think he has the most interesting stuff. And I think I mentioned... Where did I mention? Oh, yeah. Okay, I wanted to actually walk through each of the villains, so I'll mention it there. But Yeah, he's cool. But yeah, according to our listeners and community at large, Digimon Emperor wins by far.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird though, because I didn't include Black Greymon. I don't know if this is fair. I mean, Black Greymon would blow everyone out of the water if I included him in the image.
I think Digimon Emperor would still win, but Black Greymon would have been second.
So people on Reddit still voted for Black Greymon.
Yeah, I also forgot to include Dagumon and Daemon. So I forgot a lot of things in this graphic.
Who was there then? Ken, Oikawa, Malamaru.
Kenimon was second.
Oh, she's cool.
So I mean, yeah, so I included Digimon Emperor, Chimeramon, Wendigomon, or Kenimon, Moimon, Oikawa, Malamiotismon, and Armageddonmon. So there were quite a lot of choices, which is why I forgot about Black Greymon and Dagumon and Daemon. But yeah, so let's walk through each of them individually. Digimon Emperor has the most screen time. I think that's why everyone likes him.
He also has the most everything.
He's the most redemption.
It's also, like, easier to identify with a human villain. Oikawa is technically human.
He's an old dude, though. He's so old.
But he is old, and he's not pretty. Like, Ken is, you know, for an 11-year-old cartoon character, he is pretty. Like, he's supposed, like, and they keep pushing how cute he is with Yoli and Davis.
It's weird, because I feel like Digimon Emperor, like, what he does is not really sympathetic at all. He's, like, megamaniacal. That's the right word.
Yeah, but the show goes into his reasons. It goes into Oikawa's reasons, too.
Yeah.
But, like, do not underestimate the power of being conventionally attractive.
Mm. Yeah, he's the only one that is conventionally attractive. I guess Arcanimon is, too.
No.
In her lady form?
Kind of. I guess that's why she got second place.
I don't know, maybe.
Wow.
Only from Tumblr. No Reddit comments at all. And Chimeramon got decent more votes, too.
Well, Chimeramon's cool.
Yeah, Chimeramon is cool. I was kind of surprised, though, because I kind of find him forgettable. I mean, like, he chooses his big, big bad for a couple episodes and then dealt with, and he's kind of just like the, you know, the vessel to end the Digimon Emperor arc. But I think he sticks a lot of people. Wendigomon, I don't know. Wendigomon's all right. Not really much to say about him. And Arcanimon and Moimon get a lot of vitriol for being Jesse and James clones and their brand of humor, especially in the dub. I assume based on animation alone, they must be mostly humorous in the Japanese as well. I think it really sits, a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people think that, like, it's a real disappointment after Digimon Emperor arc.
I like them.
You like them? You like the humor?
Yeah,
I like them.
Yeah, I think I like the humor too. And
I also like Jesse and James.
Well, yeah. Although the best Jesse and James is when they explore their past or tragic backstories. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I dislike that aspect of them either. I wouldn't say I quite enjoy it, though. I don't know.
I mean, it's just like Arukenimon kind of embodies all these stereotypes about mean women and spiders and witches, and I'm kind of like, eh. But also, she's like, she's, you know, a lady who's pushy. I respect that.
Yeah. So, Black War Greymon. Black War Greymon. I've seen this complaint a lot. I think I've actually first heard it in Hope Chapman's video reviews of 02. But I've also seen it echoed, I can't remember where, but comments in various places. That, like, his emo rants, like, went over the heads of kids and now seem, like, extremely shallow and silly and cliche. I don't know. I feel like that's definitely true with the interactions with Agumon and stuff. Like, where's my heart if I have one? It's right here. I pour it in my hair. I don't know. Like, that whole exchange is stupid. And as I recall, everything with that conversation with Agumon is silly and nonsensical. But I think a lot of his moral questions are actually fairly deep, and that everyone else treated him shallowly and just treated him as a vessel for destruction. And I think his quest to be a fanboy more than that actually has some depth that I think people are quick to write off because some of the lines are silly and cliche.
I mean, in the Agumon Black War Greymon exchange, I would say, like, sure, his questions are somewhat silly, but makes sense for somebody who was just, like, came out of nowhere and seems very amoral. Like, it makes it, Agumon is what makes it silly. Because he's just like, where's my heart? I don't know. It's in my head. Maybe. I don't know. Like,
if my aunt had a mustache, then she'd be an uncle.
Exactly. Like, it's totally Agumon who ruins that conversation.
Yeah. I think Pokemon can come across as one note if you don't really think about how he is like a creation that has no basis for anything. And the first thing he has all this power, and the first thing that he's presented with is people attacking him, and the one thing he's good at in life is fighting. And I don't know. I mean, it's not like the show handles that super well either, because like then we get super weird motivations when he comes back later, and it's unclear whether he's been like going around destroying the digital world or not, or if that's just his presence. And like, I don't know. It's certainly not perfect, but I think it's one of the more compelling and interesting ideas that Digimon has presented. But I still really hate the way they write off the fact that Magnanimon almost defeated him, and Bakugan was like basically like admitted that he cheated, but then it was like, I need someone more worthy. And it's like, you snuck away, and then we're like, I need someone to fight that's better than you, even though I couldn't beat you. Like, no, you already got your match. Stop it.
Stand up. Be a quote unquote real man, Digimon.
it's just like they clearly wanted to have a fight with Magnangemon, but they also need a Black Ramon to keep searching for Azulamon, and like didn't think about how that like doesn't make sense. And actually, I'm curious what the dialect is in Japanese if they justify that better, but that's me vomiting that scene out of my mouth. And Oikawa. Yeah, he's a thing.
He's a pretty good villain.
Yeah,
he could have been.
He just wasn't there enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and I think we discussed before how he. When did we discuss this? I guess it was in feedback last episode. Anyway, that it is bizarre how quickly the team forgives him for like permanently scarring children for the rest of their lives.
Nobody thinks about these things.
But I don't know, I'm always going to be, I always have a soft spot for at least trying to give a villain a believable motivation, even though this isn't the best execution of it. And his plan is still pretty evil, villain, crazy. Doesn't really, yeah. Seems like there's a big leap from, like, sympathetic guy to kidnapping children.
Yeah.
But he returned them, sort of.
Mm-hmm. After scarring them for life.
Not necessarily for life.
Yeah, they got Digimon out of it.
Everyone gets Digimon out of it, supposedly.
No, but they get them first. They're like the beta testers.
Wow. Isn't one of Ken's lines that like, you know, like it won't be removed forever, but like we'll deal with it?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it is there forever, but like I dislike the idea of it scarring them forever more than it is like a something difficult that they went through, like difficult and life-changing, but not necessarily marring so much as like this is an opportunity to learn about what you are as a person and what people are.
I guess so. I'm just like, okay, that all applies to the experience of being kidnapped.
No, I'm not talking about being kidnapped. Kidnapping isn't okay. I'm talking about the dark spores.
Okay, yeah, the fact that like they still physically have this thing in their bodies forever is what I'm uneasy about.
Yeah, I am cautiously optimistic about it.
I feel like there are, I don't know, there are just like many things that happen within our body that can change without us knowing, and then change our outward personalities that like, it's just another thing.
Well, going with my metaphor, what I thought it was a metaphor for, he just made them go through puberty a little bit early.
There you go. Sure.
Dark puberty.
Puberty is dark. It's just that's the natural state of puberty.
So on from puberty and periods to Malamodismon. I want to cut out the entire period discussion, but then just say that.
I'm okay with that.
Malamodismon has like a thing in his crotch, so we'll keep it in that area. Dragon crotch.
Ash, what if in Try the main villain is Green
Myotismon?
No, Green Myotismon.
What Myotismon?
Green Myotismon. Like he's just colored green.
That's not clever at all.
Ash loves green.
He's trying to play on my green thing.
I know, but it's not clever.
Not attractive. It's not attractive on Myotismon. It's not his color scheme at all.
I didn't realize. I thought it was a universal color scheme.
Green?
Yeah.
No, there are green things I don't like.
Myotismon is all like purple and stuff.
Exactly. Like changing him now would be weird. I mean, his thing is purple and red. Those are just not colors I want to put together with green.
Yeah. We don't want him to be Imperial Jamon.
God. Imperial Jamon's color scheme is not that. Not what I have a problem with.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's bad.
At least I can see color.
You can't see color.
I have a better definition of color.
You wish you could see color.
But yeah, so Malamute Otismon coming back. A lot of people dislike that he comes back. I think it's cool.
I think it's cool, but I don't like his design.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon crotch. That's all needed, you said.
I don't like any of my Otismon's evolutions. It's okay.
And like whatever his shoulders are that eat you.
I find it bizarre that like I think a lot of the fan rage over him coming back is that he comes out of nowhere and that it's like you should build up to the villain. And I think they forget about Apocalypse.
We all wish we could forget about Apocalypse.
Forget about Apocalypse.
Okay, in the dub, we should forget about Apocalypse. I feel like it's unfair to hate on him as an entity when
did they build up to him in the Japanese? Oh, yeah.
No, sure, but like he is not this like you know those like those balls that you can like they're like cat toys where it's like a ball with like a little thing on the end and that kind of like moves around on its own. It has like a tail and it like rolls around. That's Apocalypse on the dub on his tone, just like flipping around, going everywhere.
Then a cat pounces on him.
Took
that's
too far.
How he dies.
Too far. There is no cat in this metaphor.
Gatomon. Gatomon would appreciate my metaphor.
Gatomon would appreciate any cat joke, actually. Exactly. Let's be real. I mean, just like say meow and she'd be like, oh my god, haha. Meow.
Exactly.
And the final villain of 02, Armageddon.
Forgettable Getemon.
Armageddon, I mean, like, he is like the most, like, I really like Kuramon. I really like Deboramon. I like most of the other forms in between in our war game. And Armageddon is just like, no. I don't know. Like, he's just bigger. He, like, I feel like there's nothing more interesting about him. There's nothing he does, which is interesting in the course of the movie. It's just like he's in Tokyo Bay and he's gonna destroy things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really much compelling about him. It honestly like feels a bit like running out of ideas for how to one-up Diaboromon. It's just kind of sad. Just sad.
Sad.
So the first topic about animation is our favorite set of clothing. So there are only four choices.
Summer.
Summer memory?
No, not summer memory, just summer.
I agree with summer, although I like the winter ones too.
I also chose summer.
I don't like TK's poofy vest thing.
I like winter. TK's poofy vest, but that's probably because I have one of those and it is extremely comfortable.
I find it kind of like, why is it so poofy and it doesn't even have arms? Like, make up your mind. Do you want to be poofy? Do you want to be like warm or not?
It's a vest. I have one of those.
But if it's cold enough that you like, if it's warm enough that you don't need arms, then why do you need poofiness?
I don't know. I don't know anything about layering. I just know I have one of those and it's good.
It's actually kind of cut out in this image I had made for the poll. But I saw someone comment that even in winter, Davis is wearing shorts.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, Davis. Davis is actually the true identity of the shorts kid from Pokemon.
That's okay, but he has a heavy-duty jacket and gloves, so...
Youngster Davis.
He's good. Youngster Davis.
Wow. I mean, so I ultimately went with summer, but I had a hard time choosing between summer and winter, and I think do the poll results affect us? Yes, they do. Winter is in first place, by a little bit, and then summer is in second place, and then spring is, like, way below that. It's spring/fall. I mean, it starts off them wearing it in the spring, and they also wear it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think it's a case of, like, summer and winter are less featured throughout the show. I mean, spring is the default one, and digital world, they are in a lot as well, and it's just, like... The summer and winter feel more novel. I feel like if they had had summer clothes throughout the whole show and then a couple episodes in spring, I feel like we might feel the opposite way.
I think it's also a factor of like summer clothes are most like our current fashions in 2015. Like Kari's clothes are normal. That's fascinating.
TK's still wearing a bucket though.
TK's bucket never goes away.
Except
Davis's clothes are normal too. They don't look completely awful.
But Davis, how are his clothes actually different in spring and summer? In this graphic,
his shirt is missing a line in summer from spring, the yellow line.
Wow, Ashley. Thanks for your valuable input.
Somehow I never noticed that spring and summer weren't different for Davis. It always felt different. What?
I mean, everyone else feels different.
I don't know. I just like that Kari's wearing a bandana for no reason.
Yeah, Kari's summer outfit is good.
Yeah, I feel like it's also like the, since they don't actually wear the summer outfit for too long, it's, I had it on the timeline in front of me, but it's not for that many episodes. And it's also like, so we kind of, what sticks out the most about it is the Hurricane Landing movie. So like,
I feel like the colors just aren't as clashy as usual, and it's nice.
Yeah, it's also kind of more muted though, and like,
yeah,
it's not as bright.
There's no like pink in this. That's what it is.
There's no Davis stupid flame jacket.
Yeah. People like that. That was the only reason people voted for the digital world was for his flame jacket.
Seriously?
It was one vote. It was a single vote.
Oh god.
I mean, I think if I had to choose among the digital world clothes, Davis's flame jacket is the best one.
No, Ken's outfit's the best one.
Ken's the worst. Ken. Oh.
I like Cody's. It looks like a tiny Jedi.
Yeah, that's true. I like it.
That's really like, oh, I forget where I read it. I think it may have been the response on Reddit or something. Maybe it was Tumblr that their headcanon is the Ken's, like they had a whole headcanon about Ken's scarf in the winter clothing and how like his mom would have knitted it for him and like made sure that he wore it.
Aww. Also, how can you say that Ken's digital world outfit is the worst when Yoli is right there?
Yeah, what is Yoli wearing? Like, I don't even know what that is.
It's aviator pants or whatever those are called.
Yeah, but what's her top? I don't know any of this outfit.
I feel like I associate that so closely with Yoli, whereas like, Ken, just like, put on your Digimon Emperor clothes already. Come on.
No!
Put them back.
He's never... No, why would you do that to him?
No, Kari's clothes are definitely the best in the digital world, even though it's just like her default outfit. You know, she's styling. I'm just saying, Kari's got style.
Really?
No, she's not styling, dude.
I'm really not fond of Kari's digital world clothes.
I'm not fond of you, Asher.
Really? Really? I thought what we had was special, Asher.
I feel like TK and Kari's digital world slash spring clothes are like, because of what I mentioned as being mundane effect, like they're the ones we see the most and I kind of dislike them the most because they're just...
I just don't like Kari's shorts.
Okay, her shorts are not the best part of this outfit, but her top, okay.
I'm okay with her top. I don't see why she has to wear opera gloves with it.
No, I like her gloves. It's like, what are you doing, Kari? That's amazing.
Okay, but I really, really, really don't like her pants. Like, really, really.
They're an ugly yellow. I mean,
they're ugly and they're a really bad shape, too.
Whatever.
Any more about clothing?
No.
Season 2 is not a good season for clothing.
I'm curious what happens in Charlie, like, if they're always going to be in their school clothes or not. We'll see. Mm-hmm. So, the next bit of animation is favorite animator, which we have this chart, which you can find in the show notes, comparing the styles of the, I don't know exactly what their position is. I guess they are the key animators, and they're listed in the staff credits on Digimon Wiki for each episode. But this chart is from, well, I don't know how to pronounce it. I've seen it so often on Tumblr, Fuzzlayan, that's with two Z's. Anyway, they made this really neat comparison showing a drawing of the face of a character for each of the main cameos. I think they did not include one of the cameos of the movies, though. So that is left out, but these are from the main series. And there's a lot of difference. You know, like, I feel like the one I really noticed was really only the difference between Takeda and everyone else while watching, because Takeda has so many extra shadows and like glossy, just like more details, but like there's a lot of variety among the other animators, and it's interesting because like things I thought of as being, I didn't realize they're totally different styles, but they totally are.
You didn't realize they were totally different styles? Because now that you like separated it, I can actually, I've noticed all of these types, I just never had it laid out for me.
Yeah, I was just like, why are they drawing them weird this episode?
Right, I feel like I never really like noticed the pattern. I was just like, noticed deviations, but I noticed that, like, it formed a pattern around these animators.
I mean, I never looked up the animators, but I mean, after so many times, I noticed a few of them at least. Like, I definitely noticed Takeda, but I think I noticed Ito also.
I definitely looked up Naoi.
Yeah, Naoi.
Naoi's awful. Definitely not my favorite.
I actually kind of like Naoi.
No, look at TK's face. Ew,
the face shape is weird, but like
very narrow
the
eyes.
Expressions are kind of cute.
No.
Okay, so now I kind of like, especially these like faces, these like on model faces that were taken for this comparison, but like I always associate that name with when I looked up the like half melted animation from the Duel of the War Greymons episode, where it's just like, that's how I remember Naoi now, because it's like that. I mean, that's like totally not necessarily on that key anime or anything. Could be a budget thing, could be many other things. Okay, so I'm just gonna guess that all of our favorite animators are Takeda.
Yeah, although I do like Ito a lot.
I also like Nobu Zane.
Really?
Yuli's face for Nobu Zane is just like way too anime.
Oh, that. Ever. You all are defending Naoi, so get off.
Okay, all right, whatever. I like Takeda and Ito. And actually, okay, that Kiyoyama's Ken face right there is really, really cute. Like, I almost picked just for that, but like, not the rest don't do it for me. I like Ito a lot, though.
Kiyoyama was also Andrew's pick.
Really? Probably for that Ken face.
There's a bigger Ken face. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because Fuzzlian's post where they introduced this graphic on Tumblr mentioned that 02 had a more consistent art style than Adventure, which kind of blew me away, because like, this is something I really only noticed in 02, mostly because of Takeda, and how Takeda is like vastly different from everyone else, but like, I'm kind of interested to see this for Adventure as well.
I think since Adventure was probably always really wonky, like, I didn't notice differences quite as much.
I really like Deguchi's Cody face.
Oh, I read
that. As in, like, that, it's a really weird, gross face. He's just like, not a human, like a mushroom.
No, but see, Nobu Zane's Cody face is really good.
It's very judgmental.
Haters gonna hate.
All right, what does the poll say? Is it all Takeda?
Oh, it's Takeda by far. Takeda had 20 votes, and the next was Ito with 6.
I'm always going with the flow here. It's not true at all.
No.
No.
Not at all.
So for these episodes things, we do not have any poll results because I forgot about them after I made the polls.
What's the question?
So the first one is our favorite arcs.
My favorite arc was Ken turning, and I said whatever episodes are episode 205 cover.
Oh, wait. That's the end of the Digimon Emperor, right?
Yeah.
Wait, is it? Yeah, that's Full Digital Alchemist, yeah. That wasn't really Ken turning, though.
Whatever.
I expected that arc to be like so good. It kind of hyped up to me the downfall of Ken, but I just found it so mundane actually watching it. I was just like, the stuff that's going on is uninteresting, and also like, it's so contrived that they're just like, we have no plan whatsoever, we're just gonna get inside, hope something happens. Oh look, we got a Digimon Miracles, cool, we can actually win now. Like, it's just so haphazard. And
all right, Jeffrey, what's your favorite arc?
Daemon
Core.
So I can
go hate on that. Oh, the Daemon Core. Who's Daemon? That's just the whole big unanswered question.
It's a lingering cosmic horror. I don't know. So I actually found it really hard to choose any arc, because I feel like I didn't like any arcs as a whole. There were no arcs that I was like I like a lot. Especially after watching it and discussing it, like, I appreciate a lot more with 02, but like, I feel like every arc I have lots of problems with, and the Daemon arc is the one that I have the least. And I think at the time, like, especially previous rewatches, my biggest problems with it would have been the focus on the morality of killing Digimon, which upon rewatching and thinking about for this podcast, I blame that on Adventure, not 02. And so, yeah.
All right, Asher, what's your favorite?
I'm like blanking on what the arcs actually were.
They really weren't clear to find arcs like Adventure.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I know for a fact it wasn't Destiny Stone's arc.
You know, looking at it in our episode thing, I was like, I remember like liking such individual pieces of this, but no, I can't pick this. It's horrible.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time remembering what the arcs were at this point.
I mean, so in broad strokes, there's like the Digimon Emperor ones, I think, too long to really call an arc. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to like pick a section of the Digimon Emperor.
There's
arc.
Like the setup, then there's like Digi Armor Round 2.
Right, I don't like that Dark one. Dark Ocean's just an episode.
Sure. In the middle of DigiArmor round two.
Yeah. I think maybe the end of the Digimon Emperor arc is probably my favorite. But I do like the Daemon Corps stuff, sort of. It's hard, because there were, like, sort of three arcs going on at the same time towards the end. Because there was the Daemon Corps, there was Oikawa gathering the children, and there was a lot of material to talk about with there. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more interested in what Oikawa was doing at that point than I was in the actual Daemon Corps.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But TK's fight with Ken was towards the end of the Digimon Emperor arc, so I'd probably have to go with that one.
Wins by default.
Yeah.
Okay, so now more specific. So my favorite episode, I mean, I kind of feel bad because I'm making the same decision I made for Adventure, and it's like, if you look
you're not going to pick the Dark Ocean episode.
I mean, it's just like, look at our structure of our podcast. Like, it's clear my biases. Yeah, making an entire episode about it.
Okay, I would have to say that my favorite episode is whatever the one where we find out about Ken's past, like when he has
the
amnesia.
The genesis of evil.
Yeah. That was one of my runner-ups. So did you find a favorite episode, Ash?
I'm thinking.
It's like you're going shopping for an episode.
I'm very much going shopping for an episode. Because there were, like, episodes I did like quite a lot. And I feel like I can't go and pick the episode where TK fought Ken, because I just mentioned that one.
Hey, that's totally valid.
But I'd like to pick something else if I can.
No, you can't.
I bet I could.
It's illegal.
My favorite episode used to be A Very Digi Christmas.
No!
Used to be. Okay. My favorite episode is episode 8.
Episode 8?
Which one's that?
If I had to pick one that you guys didn't pick and isn't the one where Ken...
That's not the Storm of Friendship, is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, it's the Ken revealed one?
Yeah.
It's the
one with the soccer game. With all the amazing, awful dialogue picks. But that's only, like, if I'm not picking, you know, the Dark Ocean one or the one where TK fights Ken.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was actually a pretty solid episode.
Yeah, it was. I forgot how much I liked it at the time. Like, it didn't really stick with me because I feel like all those episodes kind of blurred together. They don't really have, like, huge iconic set pieces. Although that is the one with the, like, they're all going to die at the hands of Deltamon.
Yeah,
but
it's the one
really.
Where they're all like, no, Davis, don't save me. And Yuli's like, save me!
Yes. It's worth it just for that Yuli moment.
Pretty much.
Even though it's not even actually Yuli. It's very confusing.
It's a very good Yuli impression.
Yes.
It's also like I feel like she could get a lot of flack for that, but it's also like, she's just being the smartest one, like...
Yeah, and like, it's not even her.
Yeah.
My other runner-up would be the Giga House episodes.
I was thinking about picking the Giga House episode, but then I was like, but I've seen it so many times, I'm actually sick of it. Because that was the one that was always on TV.
Really?
Constantly.
I just remember loving that build-up and cliffhanger, and also, like, the reveal of Arakenimon.
Yeah, it's a good couple episodes. But then you were also making me pick one episode, and it is a two-episode thing.
Also, there's my runner-up, so I picked three. So, also, one of the three was one that you considered cheating, so.
Yeah.
You're just so predictable, Jeffrey.
I am, too.
Do we have to do this world-building plot crap?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
I mean, it was something we talked about last season, so I kind of wanted to just, like, kind of follow
there
up.
There was less of it here.
There was a lot less world-building this season, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just like, we're in the real world. You know what this is like. You got it.
Yeah. Well, it's partially, we already were exposed to the digital world, and we spent a lot of time in the real world. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, but I mean, the real, like, when we talk about world building, it doesn't have to necessarily be building of the digital world, because I mean, it's whether, like, the world that they show of Tokyo is believable, and it doesn't really feel like it. I mean, I feel like we see less of Tokyo and everything than we did in Adventure as well. Like, we just, it's kind of strange. Like, it spends more time in the real world, but also feel like we know it less than we did in Adventure. We see the inside of the computer lab a lot.
Yeah.
We really know about that computer lab.
Yep, it's where all the kids go for detention at some point.
instead of admitting that it's summer. But, yeah, I mean, there are, like, I feel like this season introduced a lot more, like, themed areas of the digital world, like Little Edo, Giga House, Angemon City, and, like...
Chinatown.
Oh, yeah, Digi-Chinatown and everything. But, I don't know, they don't feel... They feel totally discongruous, like, they're totally separate places, and, like, they, I feel like we see more, like, places that are... We saw, like, villages of, like, Yokomon and whatever those evil Goramon were in the first season, but... really didn't have, like, things that resembled human cities, and, like, I feel like in Zero Two there are a lot of places that resemble human cities, weirdly, but I mean, not so weirdly if they're just copying things from the real world, and there's not really explicitly weird stuff in the digital world like in Season One, which is sad, because those were, I feel like, the best elements of world-building in Adventure, and it's also just, like, there wasn't really much, it's weird, because, like, in this season, the old Digimon are, like, off in the digital world, and we have, I feel like it's, the digital world feels like less of a place than it did in Adventure, because we don't really understand what the old Digimon do while they're there all the time. You know, like, we see occasionally, like, Gomamon helping people while they're enslaved by the Digimon Emperor and stuff, but, like, and I just, it just doesn't feel like a real place where the older Digimon live at all. They just, I don't know. I feel like they actually made it seem like less of a real place somehow. Also, like, what happened to Leomon and Pixiemon? Like, we don't care. We don't care to look up those people. Or, like, Pumpkin and Gatsumon. Like, it's just... I don't know. I mean, that's part of, like, that's not really necessarily world building, but it is in the sense that, like, the mechanics of the world feel less defined. I don't know. It's not great. So no other comments on world building?
Not really.
It's poor.
It's not that it's, I mean, it was slightly lacking, but we also just didn't need as much.
It wasn't the emphasis.
Yeah, we didn't need as much.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are legitimate issues and flaws, but yeah, I think there's also the fact it wasn't prioritized. It wasn't the focus. It wasn't the thing they were aiming for.
My favorite theme throughout is, and I talked about this a lot, is the idea of maturity as a social interpersonal achievement, I guess, process, rather than a purely individual one.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, but I don't know what to add. I'm like, that was good.
That was good.
I mean, I feel like the general feeling with themes, I feel like Zero Two had a decent number of themes, but no real unification to them. No real, like, I forget where I mentioned this, if it was on a previous podcast or if it was in text in our comment somewhere or something, that, like, I feel like a lot of the themes were almost incidental and maybe not intentional, and that fell into place.
Doesn't make them less valid.
Right, it doesn't make them invalid. But it means that whatever execution is there is not the best because it was, you know, like, not, you know, like, planned. So, I mean, what we do have is, instead of a well-laid framework, a well-laid fabric, we're, like, grasping at threads in a way. I mean, there is pattern to the threads, but it's not an intricately woven fabric. It's just some threads all following a pattern that we're, like, I can see the pattern. Not as good as, like, a show that, like, competently executes those themes in a plan, but it is cool to see them. I think just running through the ones I can think of, like, there's the obvious pattern of, like, control and influence among, like, almost every villain in the season is controlled in some manner, and it, in some ways it feels like an exploration of all the different ways of being controlled. I mean, we have Chimerimon being created with the sole purpose of destruction, who doesn't question, just, like, is a non-sentient beast that destroys things. There's the dark rings, dark spirals that enslave people that are otherwise nice to be controlled by Ken. There's Ken, who is, like, indirectly being controlled by just the dark spore. That doesn't really give, it's unclear if he gets sort of orders or if he just, like, makes him evilish. And there's Arakan Maimon, who are, like, on a mission by Oikawa. There's Oikawa, who is, like, possessed by Malamodismon, and they never spell it out explicitly, but I get the sense that he had noble intentions that were compromised by Malamodismon subtly to the point where he became a kidnapping, I don't mean, not murderer, but kidnapper, that's the word. a kidnapping kidnapper.
Wow.
I'm really tired. Yeah, so I feel like that, I don't know if it has anything to say about those different perspectives, aside from just showing them. And there's also, like, it's not only an emphasis on family, but family is definitely handled differently and interestingly in this season. Family was explored in season one with, you know, like, the contrast between tie contrast between Matt and TK's brotherly relationship with Ty and Kari's sibling relationship, and also Sora's relationship with her mother. But I don't know, this season,
Joe's family expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it was there in season one, but season two you actually got to see more of the families in real time.
That's true, but I feel like we still get, even among, like, oh, I totally, I had a section about the controller that I lost, basically. Because yeah, I forgot to mention that, like, in addition to what I mentioned, there's also, like, Arakenimon controlling Dark Tower Digimon, who are also created with the intent of, you know, having no sentience aside from her control, and then Black Rimon rebelling against that. But yeah, it's, I don't know if it's actually a good or bad thing that, like, they're so vague about the mechanics of the controlling. I don't know. And in almost all the instances, like, they're very vague about that. Like, we have Arakenimon and Rimon, who are, like, reporting to Oikawa, but also don't know that he created them. So why do they report to him? Like, I mean, there's, it's a lot of weird vagueness. But anyway, back to family. I mean, like, it seems to be a common thing, the kids trying to live up to their family, at least Ken emulating Sam, TK emulating Matt, Kari emulating Ty, Cody living up to his dad's legacy. That there, I don't feel like there was any, like, pattern like that of an adventure of them all kind of in their own ways living up to an older generation or anything like that. They all kind of had their own individual relationship with their parents. They were on different tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, season one didn't have the senpai effect.
The senpai effect.
Although Kari did have her troubles living up to Ty, but I think that actually did get explored more here than in season one.
In season one, she was too much like, what's going on? I've been thrown in this. I'm also a god? Who knows?
Also, I feel really sick in this one episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else was there? The theme of teamwork. I guess that's what you were mentioning before. Yeah, like, it's growth through team instead of growth through individual.
The theme that friendship is magic?
No. Yes. No. I mean, the DNA digivolutions are an obvious sign of this, but what I think is more subtle and more interesting is that, like, the three DNA digivolutions work best together, that, like, on their own, they're not able to put a dent in Black Rigamon, but together, three Ultimates are able to turn him back. I mean, they seem to basically beat him, which is very contradictory to Adventure, where, like, I forget, it was, like, seven or eight Ultimates couldn't put a dent in Megas, and it's like, well, these three together can do more. But then you also have, like, Imperial Jamon, or who is it? Yeah, it's Imperial Jamon that can't hurt Skull Sadamon, who's an Ultimate, even though Imperial Jamon's a Mega. I mean, like, there's some weird parallels in this universe.
Skull Sadamon should have fought Magna Angemon.
Oh, that was silly. Anyway, but another pattern I noticed while thinking about this theme is that, like, when Zero Two does focus on individual characters, it's usually about their relationships with other characters. Whereas, like, I feel like Adventure did a lot of splitting characters up into their, like, and kind of show their relationships, but as a way to explore the individuals, if that makes any sense. So, like, I think we see, like, Cody inspecting TK, but that doesn't really, it informs both information about Cody and about TK.
Mm-hmm.
Less so than it's, like, a mechanism to illustrate Cody. And, like, we have TK being mad at Ken, which, in the scheme of, like, it doesn't really fit this pattern so well, because, like, that relationship is kind of abandoned afterwards, and they're just, like, friends afterwards. And Davis accepting of Ken, and Yuli wanting a friend role model, common trend there. So, I don't know, it seems like the characters in Zero Two are more, when they get development, it's more about their development with other characters. And the last theme that I thought was worth noting, we mentioned a couple times before, is the, like, clothing / power-up kind of metaphors and methods of digivolution, that a lot of the season has them trying on things as temporary shoes to fill instead of filling into their destiny or anything like that. Again, that doesn't really tie into a cohesive bow like many of the themes of the season, as cool as they are on their own. Okay, biggest disappointment.
God, where do we start?
Wow, you guys are mean.
I mean, Kuomon. It's because so many things could have been so very cool that didn't pan out. I think my biggest disappointment forever and still to this day is the Dark Ocean.
I'm over it.
So my childhood disappointment is none. I had no disappointments as a child. I was like, the season's amazing. It's so good. I love it all.
Probably me too.
My thing is actually TK and Kari, because, I mean, the idea of, like, them being featured in another season feels almost completely wasted by the end of it.
I'm over that too. I am not over how disappointing Black War Greymon was, though.
What is so disappointing about him?
What does he doesn't do anything in the end? The thing that he does is, like, extra nonsensical.
Yeah, I guess that is a weird, that is unsettlingly pointless.
Right. And, like, I like him. He made me like him, and he's just so worthless to the actual plot of this show.
But I mean, at the point where like Bakugan was like hit with a fatal blow, he's about to disintegrate. It's like he doesn't really have many options for what he can do with his remaining life force.
He could have just shouted, "This is Malamionismon," or something. He knew who it was.
Not that, that would have changed anything.
Well, it would have made it less hard for them to fight because he wouldn't have blocked the portal that would have.
That was speculation about whether it actually made it hard for the other kids. But yeah. Anything else on disappointments? This is a very quick segment for it to have been started with, like, where do we even begin?
Wait, what was your disappointment? Oh, you said Tegan Curry. Right.
Okay. Oh, so what was the listener choices? So these are kind of weird as listener polls because they were open-ended. So there are a lot of, it's a long tail, I guess. There are a lot of things that had one vote. But there also was one with a lot of votes, which was the epilogue.
Oh, I forgot about the epilogue.
I'm over it.
I'm over the epilogue, too.
I mean, it's weird because, like, I feel like there are a lot of things that should be disappointments. It's just like, no, I just ignore that. I don't think about it.
Exactly. So,
it's like, this was too much of a disappointment. It's just...
Well, now the epilogue with Try has a chance to, like, redeem itself.
Okay.
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt until Try. Then maybe I'll be mad about it again.
So this in second place was not resolving Dark Ocean, and another tie for second place was that the kids only got to use two digi eggs. They didn't get to. There was no swapping of digi eggs.
That would have been cool.
It would have been cool indeed.
It's hard to be like how it currently was a disappointment. I just think it would have been cool.
True. Like I didn't really have the expectation that they would swap at any point. So and then in fourth place was Shakugamon.
That was my runner up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, yeah, I agree it's a disappointment, but I also feel like a little bit unfair because it's like, you know, we sympathize so much with Angemon because it is a Western deity, a Western entity, and then as soon as it's a like Japanese religious entity, we're like, what's this stupid thing? You know, like, so I feel kind of bad about like being so disgruntled because of that.
I feel like I would have liked him more if he was just smaller. Like, if he was Paimon size.
Oh, Ashley, are you fat-shaming him? Wow. Ashley, Shakugamon is a realistic body type. Okay, a realistic body type for tea kettles.
No. There's no universe in which he is a realistic body type.
Oh, God.
He's a realistic body type for giants. Like, what?
Have you ever looked at his butt?
I have not looked at his butt.
He doesn't have one.
I don't know. Ashley likes looking at Digimon butts. I don't know.
I'll go look up his butt.
He's wearing like a
skirt.
I mean, it's not like he's wearing a skirt, but like...
I can't find a picture of his butt. This is why I don't stare at it.
Doesn't have one.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a butt. I think you want a fool's errand.
This is the... It's like, in this image, I'm just like... You know, if he was just smaller, I'd be cool with this.
That seems like a weird nitpick. Like, if he were smaller, it'd be okay.
I don't care. I agree. I can do whatever I want.
With like, I can see it. I would still not like Shakugamon very much, but
like as his current size, he just seems clunky and stuff. Like, if he were smaller, he'd be like, "Yeah, I'm a badass robot thing or something." Like. I will read you what I wrote. I said that I liked it. Is that cheating? That Sophiemon is glorious.
I definitely agree with Sophiemon. I'm surprised that you say you like it now.
I mean, it was like, you know, it's horrible, objectively, from a storytelling standpoint. But I...
Oh, actually, objectivity doesn't exist.
That's true. But no, just from a storytelling standpoint, it's no good. It's bad. But yeah, it entertained me, so points to you.
Yes, yeah, so actually, I mean, this reminds me a lot of like discussion we had the other day about we were watching the Cinema Sins Everything Wrong with Big Hero 6 video.
Oh, yeah.
And we watched it all, and then afterwards we like had a discussion about whether, like, hey, my kind of getting weary of those kind of videos because it's like what passes for analysis or criticism is like just like finding nitpicks in the story and like.
Right.
I think we agree that it's like really reductive to reduce something to that. Like, okay, thanks. I said reductive and reduce, whatever. Because I mean, yeah, I think your point that like there are so many nitpicks, there's so many unanswered questions, there's so many things you can point out as flaws, there's so many things you can like find just wrong with the writing, they're just like bad, but it's still enjoyable. Like, I mean, that's what matters in the end, like the enjoyment right. is what matters.
It is made purely to entertain me, and it did that, yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah, and I feel like the goal of criticism should be to like to figure out the mechanism behind entertainment and enjoyment and like
and make it more enjoyable the next time.
No, yeah, just like figuring out how our feelings tick, you know, to like figure out if something worked, why it worked and why it didn't work. And I feel like what ends up happening for that kind of style of like everything wrong with blah, blah, blah is more that like you pick a certain way of finding nitpicks and then like it's kind of the opposite. Like you find a way to like find nitpicks to then base your conclusion instead of like how you feel, figuring out why you feel that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know if it quite made sense. But my biggest surprise was like how many, because okay, so my recollection of Experience with Zero Two is that I really liked it as a kid, loved it. We watched it 8 years ago, hated it, thought it was terrible. So I was going into it thinking it was terrible. I, you know, like watched Hope Chapman's videos where she's like pretty negative about it, points out a lot of like valid things are wrong with it. And the What the E-Guy videos that are like much more like cutting and wasn't the way, like much more critical, like this is really bad, really, really bad. And I went into it thinking like, yeah, I had a bad experience, so like I'm not really gonna like it. But I think the biggest thing that stood out to me is like how many interesting ideas are floating around, even though I feel like they don't work great together. Like as I mentioned before, like the full fabric thing, like they don't work together as this fabric and they don't tie into a bow, but like there are interesting things there. And maybe it'd be different if I didn't have a podcast where I could then share those interesting ideas and discuss those interesting ideas with people. But I don't know.
Well, no, because I feel like if we didn't have a podcast, I would be more complacent, just be like, whatever, I'm not going to bother trying to see those things.
Like you, so you wouldn't find those good things, you wouldn't find those bad things?
I wouldn't find either.
You'd just be like...
I'd just be like, whatever, Digimon.
Feed me the Digimon, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting point about like criticism or like the experience of podcasting in general. Like I think heightens the experience in both, like makes you enjoy something you enjoy more. It makes you dislike something you dislike more, if that sense.
Well, I think it makes it hard because you're like, well, I can't just say really obvious things because that's boring.
Mm-hmm.
But like, because the show is not outstanding, if I watched it without having to talk about it, I would just like accept its not outstandingness and not bother to see either side of it.
Yeah. I think these need to be like, it's just not a good show. Whatever. Okay. I'm not going to think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But that's why, like, looking at the arc things, I was like, I remember really enjoying the Destiny Stones arc for, like, whatever weird reasons. But I was like, but it was so bad. Like, I can't actually pick that because it was bad. But, like, I feel like that arc itself just encompasses my whole, like, feelings of overall Zero Two.
No, I feel okay. So this is kind of related to my point, but like, do you think that you would recommend someone who said they liked Digimon but they hated Zero Two? Would you recommend they listen to our podcast about Zero Two to like try to convince them to like it better?
I think our podcast about Zero Two is entirely too long for that.
I don't know about that. I would ask them their least favorite part of it and then be like, listen to this episode of our podcast.
Or this section of this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I guess it's a hard sell to be able to listen to like 15 hours of material just to like.
I also feel like you can't force that on people. Like,
no, but I mean, you just like try it out and if they enjoy it, you like it. It's an endorsement. I reckon it's not like force feeding audio.
Right. No, not just that, but like if people like viscerally do not like something, I do not think there is enough analysis in the world to like make them fully ever like it.
Yeah.
I just think it's an interesting comparison because we've had some comments from listeners saying that we've made Zero Two more enjoyable for them. We've also had some comments from listeners like who are pretty emphatic about like basically like good points, but I still hate this arc, you know, like
right.
pretty regularly. So
because I feel like the people who are like, you have good points, but I still hate this, are the ones who are like, I just cannot stand Zero Two.
But I think if they really couldn't stand Zero Two, they wouldn't be listening to a podcast about Zero Two.
No, because I think there's still curiosity in things that you don't like. Like, you try to figure out why other people like it and you don't.
I guess.
Wait, Asher, what is your biggest, what are we on? Surprise?
Yep.
Yes.
Surprise? I think I've seen this show too much to be surprised ever again.
It's in your blood.
No, my happy surprise is like suddenly seeing Kari as possibly not straight.
Was that new this week?
It was new for me.
Wow, you didn't get that vibe before? I'm surprised at you.
Yeah, I know. I just like never thought about it before. I guess because I was so hype about Takari, but
that makes sense.
But like the idea of Kari just like not being interested in any of the dudes is incredibly appealing after picking those dudes apart, particularly. But also because, like, you know, representation is fun to have.
It is.
Yeah.
And also it just like seems completely in character and like something I actually kind of want to see explored more often in fan work and whatever.
Mm.
I like it. Right? I dig, like, the Yoli and Kari.
I don't even want her to end up with Yoli. I just like don't. I just think she has a lot of potential.
Kari's full of potential for everything.
It's true. I just think that that would be a really, like, fun's not the right word. It would be a really, like, fulfilling road to see, to put her down, to see what she does, you know, because she's not sort of the typical hero or heroine one would necessarily put in that position.
It's true.
Yeah. I want to see her be brave.
Okay, so the listener responses to the question, the biggest surprise, which this one is kind of weird because I actually tried to post on Reddit and for some reason the posting didn't go through. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if there's some kind of like a rate limit to Reddit because I was posting one a day or two a day. Maybe it was like you posted too many. I don't really know what's going on with that. So I did not post it to Reddit, so there are much fewer responses. But the number one thing was TK and Ken fight. Yeah. I mean, interpretation of this question is weird because it's like, do you think of it as like your first watch surprise, your rewatch surprise? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's hard to like rewatch and be surprised with that because it's like such a hyped up moment in the fandom.
Yeah.
Second was Malamud Osman. Also, when I say second, that was two votes, so.
Then it was Cody.
Okay, well, that's all the things that tie for one vote, so. So, okay. So this next section is inspired by a comment. Ooh, I can't remember what episode it was from. It was a while ago. It was from Use Your Digital Text, and they asked us, since we have a hindsight view of the season, I was wondering what you guys feel would have improved the season to make it better, and are there things, story arcs, plot points, characters, etc., you feel could have been added or removed that would have made the season flow smoother? I mean, so I was a little nervous about the question because I feel like it's something that I see in a lot of, I don't know, I mean
we are not professional TV writers either, like,
right, it's like armchair criticism to be like, oh, I would have arranged it like this. Yeah. And it reminds me actually a lot of I forget if there's like a name for this kind of thing, but like basically when like someone comes along is like, here, I redesigned Wikipedia, here's my like alternative design of Wikipedia, everything looks so much better, and or like they like as a design project to like build a portfolio just like redesign some site, and it's kind of like it's really ego, like it's like, here's what it, if like you take one person's vision and like don't take into like any of the other factors that went into this, like okay, maybe that is better, but like you're also not factoring in all the other people's decisions that went into the old design, which you think is crappy, like which I think is kind of the point with these, where it's like, I mean, but also to a fault, Zero Two had too many cooks in the kitchen, and so like, you know, maybe it could have improved by having like fewer voices that had more authority and more coordination. But yeah, I think it is a weird perspective to be like, here's what I would have changed this all around, changed the entire plot, and it would have been better. And it's like, well, the details are in the execution, and like the, so I mean, it's like, well, that doesn't, like, moving that stuff around, I feel like, doesn't really solve that much. But given all that, I ended up thinking about it and I brainstormed a lot of things, actually. I was kind of disappointed in myself because I was like, oh, I actually kind of like these ideas I thought of.
Please tell us.
The first was featuring Digimon Emperor more in his arc, because I feel like despite that arc lasting so long, it was so much of episodic content, so much of like, here's a Deputymon and this Western town, instead of like learning that much about Ken. Ken in some of these episodes sat in the background laughing while watching the kids, and I didn't really, even though we had the longest arc, I feel like we didn't really witness him that much during it, you know? It feels like kind of wasted time in that light.
I guess. I remember complaining about the way that it, like, the reveal of Ken is executed is weird. Like, I don't know. There's just something weird about that arc. There are things that we know as an audience that the kids don't know, and like, blah, blah, blah. And there's just like so many reveals that are weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just would have made it more of a secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about those complaints. And my next thing I would change is that. So I feel like there were like a lot of aimless episodes before the World Tour arc. I mean, there were like basically 2 8 episode arcs of what felt like filler, like very episodic episodes. That I feel like the episodic episodes in Adventure, like the ones that introduced Digivolutions, also moved the plot along, and then these episodic episodes that introduced Digivolutions didn't really do that. And so we had like a very compressed World Tour arc.
God.
And I feel like the biggest fault in the World Tour arc was that it was like everything was so condensed and so compressed that like there was no depth. Everything was just to like get from point A to point B, throw Digimon in a computer, the end. And if each pairing had actually like a full episode, they think they could have been a lot more interesting.
They could have, but like, was the World Tour really necessary at all?
I mean, it was kind of a cool way to mix things up.
Yeah, but you know, it's like what we were saying earlier about Black War Greymon. It had no actual impact on anything.
Mm. Well, I mean, it was to distract the kids while they kidnapped kids.
It introduced the idea that there are Digidestined all over the world, which was useful at the end, but at the same time, like, we could have skipped it and had more time with our kids, like developing them, like, you know, the ones that got shortchanged a little bit, like Yali and Cody. Like,
right, they tried. I think it could have been a way to do that. It could have been a way to, like, if you, like, them splitting up is how character development was so often delivered in Adventure. So, like, they could have used that in the same way if they actually had time for it instead of just rushing around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so like the arc before the Destiny Stone / Black Greymon arc, like I've always struggled how to label that. Like I think when I initially planned, I was like, call them the Mysterious Woman arc or the Control Spire Digimon arc. Like there's no, I feel like the fact that it like has no good name is kind of indicative of it not being a very, I don't know, impactful chunk of episodes. That's why I feel like that should have not been quite so long.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think a lot of people would agree like the Daemon arc could have been longer. I think that like, I don't know, I feel like the weird like Ashley, you really hate how Daemon was gotten rid of so soon. You're like, what was Daemon? What was his deal? And I kind of feel like it's a weird expectation because like I think all of the Digimon, like Edamon just like appears and is like, I'm just gonna rule the world. Like they're just evil for evil's sake a lot of the time, and we don't really.
Daemon seems to have an intricate plot that
that's true. He did seem to have an agenda. He was like, I need to kidnap Ken, and we don't know why.
Yeah.
That's true.
Edamon doesn't have a set plot. He's just like, I want to take over the world. Oh, there are these kids who are going to meddle in my affairs. You just mess them up.
That's true. Yeah, so I think, especially kind of resolving why he went again, is maybe a pretty big thing that should have been addressed. Okay, this was a crazy idea. I don't know how you think about it, but, and it's like many of these things, like, you know, could have been executed terribly as well. But here's a crazy idea that while the kids are out on the world tour, we actually had an episode about the Daemon Corps appearing then, and Arakan and Mamimon fighting them off until the kids get back. And then it's kind of like they team up with Arakan and Mamimon to fight off the Daemon Corps, and it's kind of like a moment of redemption for them before they just get annihilated by Mamimon.
I don't need my Otismon. I don't need Mamimon and Arakanimon to have a redemption arc. I liked them as they were, like unrepentant about it. Also, that just seems like super complicated and would have added like 20 episodes to the series.
Make it 200 episodes long.
That's okay. That wouldn't make it better.
Other things I want to change, it probably seems like it was a doomed idea from the start to have character development based illusion scenarios the end game when so little of the characters haven't built up to that point. That just seems like not the best fit for the series. That like inevitably going to be like weird. Whereas if they went for some like more of a spectacle based thing, that I think would have been more fitting, but I can kind of understand they wanted to add characterization, but Yeah, and okay, so here's this is also a crazy idea, but I feel like we mentioned before of how like it would have been cool if they showed more of the armor digivolutions, like the, using alternative eggs. And I feel like they, by introducing both armor digivolutions and DNA digivolutions, I feel like it would have been more interesting to only have armor digivolutions and just like the whole season deal with armor digivolutions. I mean, that would, there are like too many armor digivolutions to show in the series anyway. I mean, there are 6 kids and 8 eggs. That's 42 different combinations. So like there are way too many to actually show. And if the, well, the way of them leveling up throughout the series was instead to like use them more strategically or to like find ones that fit, like if they had to kind of experiment and find the like Davis with the courage egg actually works really well, and like Flangemon is more is stronger than other ones because of that working well thing, something like that, I think it could have been a cool way. But then I get people wouldn't get tired of the one gimmick being used over and over, or the alternative of like only focusing on DNA evolutions and having the kids trial different relationships and different pairings to find which ones worked well. Mm-hmm. Would have been cool. I don't know. None of those I feel like confident enough to be like, this is how this should have been done. I know for sure that I should have been in the writer's room, but I think they are, I don't know, interesting ideas.
I have so many unanswered questions.
Biggest unanswered question.
Still Daemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Daemon or Dagomon, like both of them.
I know, I'm more comfortable knowing that Dagomon is just like chilling, just like doing his thing.
But so is Daemon. Dagomon are chilling
Daemon,
together.
Yeah,
no, actually, Daemon had his specific.
So did Dagomon. Dagomon wanted Kari.
Yeah, but I don't know.
They're shippers.
They're shippers.
They just wanted Kari and Ken to become a thing.
Which would have been cute, I admit.
They were stealing them to get them.
And they were sent to the same, like, the kids fell into their trap. Now they're each gonna pull both of them into the dark ocean, and they're gonna ship
and
them.
Ken and TK will go save them all with his anger.
Exactly. TK will save them all being like, Ken, you've betrayed me. I wanted Kari this whole time. I knew you were evil. I knew you were still evil.
God.
I like this. I like what we've just created.
All right, write this fanfic, Ashley. I'll help you.
I will totally write this.
I'll write the TK parts. Okay. Or the Ken parts. Which parts do you think I should write?
Huh. Is this how collaborative fanfiction works? Like,
well, it's how role-playing works. You can write collaborative fanfiction that way. It tends to get a little choppy, but...
Mm.
You seem to love, you know, TK's righteous anger, so, you know, you should write him.
Yeah, but I feel like you would actually be better for that.
Just saying. What was that, Ashley?
That was Ashley's righteous anger.
That didn't feel righteous at all. That just was just rage.
And, I mean, Ashley did send me the Crest of Kindness in the mail.
Oh, that's that one time. True. You should be Ken.
I should be Ken. All right.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It's a fake married trope. That's a great trope.
What? Fake married?
Fake married is a very popular, like, romance fanfiction trope. Or arranged marriage, also.
I don't even remember what we were actually talking about.
Unanswered questions.
Well, now you know the answer, so... Jeffrey, what's yours?
I don't have, like, a single, like, huge one that I'm, like, have vendetta against. But, I mean, I am, like, what do the older Digimon do in the digital world? Like, what is life for them? And what happened to the Digimon that tragically died in adventure, like Leomon and Pixiemon? But there's lots of little questions. Like, I feel like I don't really have, like, huge one, because it's, like, you just get worn out from all the... things aren't answered. I don't know.
Omega RDD, where we go around and each pick our top funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episode as
from picked, all the episodes.
From all the episodes as picked by you from our other RDD things. Ah, it's crazy.
so the candidates for the pool of things that we are choosing from are the winners of the RDD polls from all the other episodes.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. My pick is from episode 8, which I also listed as my favorite episode. And so it's the soccer game episode. And they're sitting on the bleachers waiting for Ken. And Kari goes,
where is he?
And TK says,
is he? No, we're waiting for Ken.
And It's still funny.
All right, Jeffrey.
Okay, so mine is, I think, actually from the same episode. I forget how we caught up those episodes. Maybe it isn't. Yeah, I think it isn't. Anyway, it's from episode 5. I don't remember anything important happening in the episode. I think it was actually the only going one. Boring episode.
Wow.
Wow. Yep, I did it. I said it.
So bad.
go listen to Another Round, which is a great podcast where they can do that noise much better.
Yes.
Anyway, so yes, it's I think something goes badly for Ken, for Digimon Emperor, and Ken turns to Wormmon and is like,
Wormmon, what is plan B?
No, why are you picking this again?
Well, we can all become friends.
Wait, what's wrong? This one's amazing.
No, it's not.
It won. It won then. It's still the best quote now.
Oh my goodness, it is not.
Prove Ashley wrong, listeners. She may be the RDD champion. We can still throw her off the crown of throwing.
I mean, I'm with Ashley on this one, actually, Jeff.
If thinking of like the Game of Thrones throne, the Iron Throne with the sword and everything.
Iron Throne, yes.
what would our throne be made out of? Like puns and really terrible jokes.
Well,
puns and gender.
Yes.
Pick your superior choice, Ashley.
My choice is from, I suppose, my favorite episode, episode 23, where Ken is all amnesia and goes back to the digital world.
This one is good too.
And little Digimon harass him, which is amazing. Punimon's like,
it's too late for you now. You can't turn back time. What's done is done. You've made your bed, now lie in it. I'd go on, but I can't think of any more cliches.
Ash is gonna win again.
Good. Not quite as good as We Can All Become Friends, but I.
No, it's why? What?
I understand your bad choice, your bad taste, Ashley. I can understand.
Jeff, you're setting yourself up for an awful amount of disappointment.
I am. I'm seeming so. I don't know why. Like, pretend to be really cocky about certain things. Like, I don't. It's like fun to play that role, but.
But you're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not wrong. I'm just not cocky about it. Okay, I kind of am a little cocky about it.
But you're mostly wrong.
You can find the show notes for this episode at podigist.com/213. That's where you should go to vote on your favorite Omega RDD pick. Let us know what you thought about 02, read what other people thought about 02, and to find notes about all the characters, images, and links we've mentioned on the podcast. Follow Podigist on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook to get lots of extra images, GIFs, and other fun stuff related to the show. You can also let us know what you thought about the podcast on social media or in the threads for the podcast on With the Will and digimon.reddit.com. You can find me on Twitter at JeffAndLyJeff, Ashley on Twitter at AshMcD00, and Asher on Tumblr at AsherDashery. You can also find links to all the different social media accounts at podigist.com. If you like the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review in iTunes. It helps new people find the show and prove to the world that Digimon is cool. We just need 431 more ratings to beat the biggest Pokemon podcast. It'd be awesome if you share the podcast with your friends. If your friends don't like Digimon, then tell them to watch Scammers. Speaking of which, join us next time as we start Podigist Season 3, Insurance Claimers. Bye.
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 And remember, never stop Digivolving. Actually, don't remember what the dub songs are like in the other seasons, aside from the Frontier opening.
The best opening.
Frontier opening.
Take a drink. I'm gonna get drunk because I actually need to be drunk for people to enjoy us.
If I'd known that, I could have drunk more at dinner.
Yeah, Asher could have actually. I can't even say it anymore.
Asher could have Ashley drunk.
Yeah. I did drink a little.
But wait, Asher, have you heard the story at all?
I don't know.
So when Ashley and I recorded the feedback for that was in the last episode, we like tried mixing up and having like in all the other ones, I've always hated how like I do most talking and Ashley reacts, and I really hated that. So I tried to actually split up the roles so that we more equal, and I thought it was really good. And it was like we were like laughing a lot and stuff. But then like the first comment that we got in the episode was, "Were Jeff and Ashley drunk when they recorded this?" And so Ashley was like, "We don't drink."
But imagine if we did.
It probably would be really funny. I will say that. But I don't think we should do that.
Maybe if we set up a Patreon tier of like, if we get $3,000 a month, we would do a drunk episode. You wouldn't do that for $3,000 a month?
No, why should you?
I do it for a while. Okay, maybe $3,000 is pretty low. If I got like $100,000, I'd do it.
I think,
well, sure, for $100,000, I would get drunk once. If anybody wants to pay me $100,000 to get drunk, I would totally do it.
I'm glad we all have our morals.
Well, if it's only once, I mean, fine.
Ashley, it's a gateway drug.
Oh.
What else would you do for money, Ashley?
What else would I do for money? I don't know. Propose things to me and I'll tell you if I do for money.
This can be a new segment.
Yeah. Now we're doing our older review thing where we... Wait a second. Okay, wait. Okay.
Wait, I don't think Ashley's experienced this.
I've never done follow-up before. This is fascinating and terrifying.
Why didn't Izzy make the Apple Watch? I don't know.
Oh, God. Anyway, I can talk about Apple now. I can just, like, brewer monger. We can make this a tech podcast now. So, Ashley, what do you think about the Apple Watch?
I don't understand the hype.
We were going to have a fitting where I was going to try on one, and you were going to watch, and I slept through it today. So, Ashley, I can hear you now, or I can hear someone.
It's me. What if I go over here?
But no, it's totally fine as long as you don't chew while talking, which I guess is just manners.
I definitely did not have manners eating those pretzels.
Like just now or in the past? Yeah. You opened the pretzels?
I feel bad that I do not reply timely.
Yeah, I feel guilty about like, because like we are at a point of getting the comments we get. We're at the point where like it is like on the brink of being, it's between getting few enough that we can reply to everything and be really engaged and having too much that it takes too much time to reply to everything and be super engaged. And I feel really bad about that. But I have to learn to accept that. I mean, that's what people with like larger audiences have just taken as a given, that like they can't reply to everything. And it's weird for us because like we started off really small and like, we're still in the scheme of things pretty small, but like we're starting to get enough feedback that can't reply to everything. And my goal is that like other listeners, like that, like even if we don't reply, the other listeners will reply, which actually hasn't happened too much recently. It happened a lot in the past, but I would encourage listeners to, you know, like when you go and post your own, like reply to other people's and talk to each other, because I mean, that's what I would consider the ideal. It's also weird because like when I read the comments, I'm always thinking like, should I mention this on the podcast? And then I'm like, that kind of enters a weird territory. Like something, there's a really good comment, and I'm like, I really want to address this, but I'm going to save it for the podcast. And I don't reply to the person. So the person probably thinks like, oh, a comment wasn't that good. But also like, if you leave a comment and like you don't get a reply from like me or Ashley, like you shouldn't ever think that comment isn't good. It just means that like maybe we're like super busy that week. And so, I mean, you shouldn't really worry about that.
Hi, Pixel. Pixel, I had pictures of you in my phone until this morning when I deleted them.
Oh, sad.
I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Oh, that's...
Okay, I have to plug in my computer.
You're a computer.
Don't you guys need to eat at some point?
No.
No?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm going to stop...
eating.
I'm going to stop after doing the... after doing Favorite Digimon. And then won't be too... Like, we'll eat then. There are a lot of sections for Favorite Digimon, but I think they're all, like... We don't have much to say about them each. Ooh, although Favorite Chip might be a long topic.
Favorite ship will be a long topic. I will make it so.
I feel so bad that you like didn't get to talk about shipping at all in the Diaboramon episode.
I don't care. I have my whole life to talk about shipping, really. I'll be, you know, a rabbi talking to little kids about Digimon ships.
I'm curious to, I think we've never really talked about, like, negative side of shipping, like, if it's, we've always embraced it. I don't know if you're ever interested in, like, talking, like, is it okay to talk about, like, the romance between, like, 10-year-olds and...
Yeah, because they're not real. Well, if they were real, it would be creepy. And in fact, if I hadn't watched the show as a 10-year-old, I probably would find it more creepy to be talking about shipping.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, as it is...
But, like, it feels like we grew up these people, so it's like...
Yeah, it's like they're our age, shipping 10-year-olds.
What's creepy?
We're discussing whether shipping 10-year-olds is creepy.
Oh.
And Ash is saying that, like, because we grew up... Because we were 10 when they were 10.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel creepy.
It's not creepy.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I think there are... Like, I know, like, Hope has been pretty critical of shipping, that, like, she touched on it briefly in the episode, I think, outside of, like, on Twitter and stuff, that, like, it's a very, like, nerd fulfillment kind of thing that, like, people do to, like, satisfy their hormones because they're not getting, like, sexually satisfied in real life. So they're like, let me ship these characters and think about them having sex all day. And I feel like most of the time shipping isn't really about the actual sex, you know? It's, like, about the relationship.
No, it's about, that's why it's shipping and not sexing.
I would say it's much more, like, it's built up upon, like, cute moments, not, like, gross.
Yeah,
well, it depends on the fandom.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Digimon.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I mean, but there is a darker side to the Digimon fandom.
I mean, there's a darker side to every fandom, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if you should judge everybody based on the dark people.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also, like, even I think that interpretation is, like, not fair on the whole, but, like, I still feel like there's something weird about, like, you know, like, hoping characters get together.
That's certainly a wish fulfulfilment thing, but I hesitate.
Why is it weird?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it's wish, sure, it's, but, like, how is that any different than caring about fictional characters? Like,
like, at all, yeah.
Yeah, like, what's the line here?
Just because, like, putting so much emphasis on it over other things, and I don't really have, like, fully formed thoughts about this. It's more like a, like, minor hesitancy.
It's pushing the super importance of being in a relationship rather than being a person.
Right.
Sure, but we talk about that too. I mean, yeah, like, there are definitely problems to shipping. I wouldn't stop shipping ever.
I just, like, people love each other. That's a thing. Like,
and sometimes they don't, and that's cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these people do.
Or they should.
I feel like with shipping, it's always, it seems, at least to me, from my perspective, that, like, it's always an end game thing that, like, these people are a ship, like, not like I want them to date, but, like, I want them to be a couple forever. And, like, if they're a couple, then, like, they're going to get married and maybe not married.
This
but,
is
like,
true. This is the thing I struggle with, especially, like, reading a lot of YA fiction. Mm-hmm, like, when people get together, I'm like, am I really supposed to believe that they just, like, are together forever now? Like, I don't know.
But that's why I get that. I get so delighted now as an adult when, like, I find out that in Kuroko no Basuke, for example, Tepe and Riko, they dated, but they are exes now. And, like, it all happened off screen completely. Like, even the reveal that they dated happened off screen. And I was like, oh, that's amazing.
What?
They're exes.
Wait,
and they're still friends. That's amazing.
One of them is a coach.
Are they both dudes?
No. I wish.
It's the
I don't wish Riko was a dude, but, like, you know, we could have male exes.
I mean, I was much more excited about it when you were. I was much more excited about it, like, if, like, members of the team that were all dudes who had a relationship with that. But
None of that is canon in Kuroko no Basuke.
Yeah.
But it's all very much... Yeah. It's not the gayest sports anime I've ever watched, but...
But it has its moments. It has its moments.
It certainly does.
But I mean, but also, that's also exciting. Yeah, it excites me about Tri, because, like, one of the things I really hope and, like, think is a really logical thing for them to do if they care about the story of Venture and Zero Two is to show what happens to TK and Kari's relationship, you know, like that they could actually like get together and have a falling out, or like, you know, like I think that'll be an interesting, because an interesting side to like the shipping doesn't mean like a long-term relationship, that like you can still ship TK and Kari, that like they have a really cute summer.
Oh my god, I totally buy it.
I want TK and Kari to be together forever. Like, that's one of those pairings where I'm like...
I do too. Okay.
Ashley, you only like that because it's the beginning of a Nicholas Sparks novel.
What? Okay. I would also... I mean, the problem with Sora and Matt's relationship is like, okay, I mean, sure, Sora and Matt could get together, but I have no narrative reason to believe that they'd like, show me something cute that they do together, and then fine, yeah, I'll be totally cool. It's like, they're the same age, so that makes it somewhat cute-ish.
Also, like, when I was 6, which is even younger than Kari and TK, I was like, you know, shipping myself with people.
that's a very interesting way of saying you had a crush. You had crushes.
Yeah.
Or you mean like fictional characters?
No, real people.
Okay, so crushes.
My classmates. Yeah, sort of.
Wait, so what age were you saying?
6.
Oh, what?
It's not that uncommon, guys.
Yeah.
It's like, because I knew that everyone had to be in a relationship eventually, like, I'm going to marry this person in my class. And they have no say in the matter.
I remember, I think my first crush was like 6th grade, 5th grade.
Maybe. Really?
Yeah.
What about you, Ashley?
What?
When was your first crush?
My first crush? Damn. interesting question. I do not, like, recall. middle school.
Ashley never crushed on anybody.
Yeah, I never crushed on anybody.
Ashley is stone cold Katniss.
Boys crushed on me. I was way cooler when I was younger. Now it's reversed. I crush on people and they don't crush on me back.
wait, what?
Oh, yes. I crush on you the most, Jeffrey. And you crush on me back.
Wait, but what was the other, what was the other stuff you just said? What?
I said when I was younger, boys.
No, I got that part.
I said now I crush on people and they don't crush on me back.
You know, I heard the words.
I know you heard the words. I can't talk now.
Is this the beginning of a bigger discussion?
No. Well, you're making it into
one. Wait, so what do you mean if it's not?
I mean, it's just, you know, like, in high school, I'd be like, I have a crush on this person. But it was like never, it wasn't you at that time.
Wait, so when you say, like, now, you mean, like, 8 years ago?
I don't know. Time is funny.
Ashley, you keep digging yourself deeper and deeper.
Yes, Jeffrey. You can tell I have no crushes. That's the... I never had.
This is awkward at this point.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, so back to shipping.
You should all ship me and Jeffrey forever.
I don't know, Ashley. My OTP is Ashley and Katniss.
Oh, but I love Katniss with Peeta.
I think if Katniss appeared in our world like tomorrow, like just, like appeared in our apartment, like Ashley would just like faint and like not be able to talk to her. I don't think she'd be able to have a conversation.
I don't think Katniss would want to be my friend.
I don't think Katniss has friends.
Also, what is like, our mashup name, Jeffrey? Is it Ashry?
The two of us? Yeah. I mean,
Jeff-ly.
I've always...
Jeffly.
No,
that's cute.
I've thought of that, but then it's like, just sounds like you're like racistly mispronouncing Jeffrey. That's why, like, we have things named We have things named Jashley.
Oh, yeah. But that's just all my name with a J in front of it.
Very astute observation, actually.
I'm just saying, your name is getting shortchanged.
But, like, it has the, like, E at the end.
Oh, that's true.
Well, we could go the last names route, and it could be McDuberg.
Okay, you made that really bad. We have the email address McRuberg.
Yeah.
So if we're like Jashley McRuberg, then it's...
Jashley
McDuberg is better.
No.
and our children are going to have the last name McRuberg.
No. He can totally be using that in that way, because it just means relationship. It doesn't necessarily mean romantic relationship. Jeff, I feel like you might enjoy a webcomic called Homestuck.
A story that never ends well, that starting off something like that. Isn't it? So yes, isn't it ending soon? Or has it already ended or something?
It has not ended. It is supposed to end. It should have ended a little while ago, but things happened.
I can't remember if it was like a time when I visited Brown or if it was when we were visiting Florida, but I remember at some point being around you and being like, I'm definitely going to read this webcomic. That must have been like 3 or 4 years ago, and now it's just gotten longer since then.
I started reading Homestuck in 2011. The end of 2011.
Yes. Oh my god. You don't even know. In college, it would be like, Ashley, we have to go back to our dorm room because I have to read Homestuck.
Actually, Homestuck updated today, and I have not read it yet because I am doing this thing with you guys. So you should just know that I love you.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you loved me less in college or something. I don't know.
that might be
true. No, it's not true. It's I was more obsessed with it in college.
It seems really like life consuming.
Yeah,
it is for Asher.
yeah, it is.
I started it once.
Really?
I didn't get very far. Yeah.
It's not something you would like, Ashley.
Wait, so like, what's the difference between the two of us that means that I would like it and she wouldn't?
You have very different tastes. Are you not aware of this?
Yeah,
you
know. Well, no. Sure. But like, I'm just curious what you see.
Well, first of all, I can rely much more on your sense of needing to be in every nerdy circle. Because like, Homestuck is like one of those popular things that you, I think, would at least be like, sort of feel like you need to at least know about it. Also, I think that you deal with weird things better than Ashley does. And there's a humor component that I know that Ashley won't like, and I don't know how you will feel about the humor in Homestuck. It's also super long.
That's what scares me.
Yeah, that's super, what Jeff can't long. Do, though.
Yeah.
I've been reading the same book for, like, 9 months.
But Homestuck also has, like, animation and music, so I don't know. You don't have to read it all at
Ash
once.
That's how Ash gets all of his music.
From Homestuck fan soundtracks? Yes.
Yes.
That is true.
I know it's true.
Like, the idea of it including animation and music, like, it seems a very... It doesn't seem like it fits any mold of like what a medium is.
It does not. That is one of the things Andrew Hussey, who makes it, set out to do. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna do whatever. There is a like 13 minute animation in one part. It's insane. He broke new grounds.
Ashley, why?
You're the one who put it in my head.
Do you want to make a sound clip of it?
What?
Make a sound clip of it.
Yeah.
All I want to do is see you turn into a giant woman. A giant woman. All I want to be is someone who gets to see a giant woman.
It's a cute show.
All I want to do is help you turn into a giant woman. A giant woman. All I want to be.
Jeff can't stop singing it now.
Cause like,
when did you guys start watching? Oh, I know
it'll be great. A couple, like a week, 2 weeks ago? This, like, we literally just seen this episode. It was the last one we saw. But have you seen the Digimon connection, the song?
No.
So the reason I have it stuck in my head is because of a thing I saw on Tumblr. I assume you've seen the, like, Crest of Courage thingy. No, that too.
Oh, Connie's...
Yeah.
What? My shirt, right?
Yeah, but it's just a sun, like...
Yeah, it is just a sun. It is
like, it doesn't even have the right number of rays. Like, the Crest of Courage, I think, is 8, and Connie's
is also
6.
Not a Homestuck thing. Like, it's silly.
It's all the things. All the realities.
It's true.
I actually can't find it when I search, so I have to go to my Tumblr dashboard.
Do you actually watch the show, Asher?
I caught up with it, I think, 2 weeks ago, and then I haven't seen the most recent couple episodes, I think.
Jeff and I feel stupid because we bought the first season on iTunes or something, and now it's on Hulu. Like, it came out like a week later. I feel really dumb.
I didn't know it was on Hulu.
It just came out on Hulu.
Oh, okay, cool. Sweet. Good for me. Sucks for you.
I wonder, yeah, though.
You spent $25.
I don't know if the if it's the latest episodes, because like some Hulu shows like are like delayed by a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think I think other Comedy Central shows. Wait, no, it's Cartoon Network. Never mind. I got confused.
No, it was weird. I was rewatching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and the first 4 seasons are on Netflix, and then the last season is on Hulu. And I was like, what is going on here? Why this?
Content distribution. It's confusing.
Super confusing. I think Netflix is also pulling it very soon, if they haven't already.
I know. You think everything is so important, and it's just not.
Wow. 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 How do I do the noise from another round? No, that was terrible. No, okay, I'm worse.
Yeah, you did it way worse.
I should just record the sound effect from another round.
You should, actually.
Okay, so let's go on to the next
segment. They're way better at it. No, we're terrible.
Just because that was your experience, Ashley, doesn't mean it applies to everybody.
No, I mean, okay, girls, puberty is just always dark, like... I'm just saying. Jeffrey's uncomfortable.
I made Ashley listen to too many women podcasts. Now she thinks it's appropriate to talk about periods on podcasts.
It should be. Are you stigmatizing it, Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff.
It's not Digimon related.
This is why we have to talk about.
You talk about things that aren't Digimon related all the time, Jeff. Constantly.
Like card capture soccer.
Yeah, seriously. You shouldn't have brought that up around us, Jeff.
I wouldn't have talked about soccer by going through your period, though.
Well, we should. Yeah. Continue, Jeffrey. You're the fearless leader here. Let go of your fear.
Wouldn't it be interesting if, like, there were just, like, signs of, like, in the same way that, what's the movie called now? I'm totally forgetting it. The Kiki's Delivery Service, like, if you look, the signs is a metaphor for her going through puberty. And, you know, a metaphor, but, like, I mean, I guess it is a metaphor, but, like, also, like, she physically exhibits signs of going through puberty. No, I think it's more metaphor. Anyway, that, like,
if, are you,
like,
saying that there aren't physical signs of puberty, Jeff?
No, in Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yes, but are you saying those don't exist regularly?
No.
You're like, aren't you're all like, wouldn't it be cool if?
Oh no, I'm saying like, wouldn't it be cool if like over the course of CCS, like Sakura just like, I don't know, this wouldn't be cool. I'm taking it back. But, like, if she started, like, if you looked for it, like, she starts to change.
Oh, I mean, the years they chose to set card captors in, it just wouldn't happen. She's in fourth and fifth grade.
Oh, okay. Isn't
sixth grade like, is generally the start?
Yeah. Okay, because I remember like having health class in fifth grade and being like, it could be happening.
It could, but rarely. Hmm. It's not as common in fifth grade, no. I want to see her be brave.
Like that,
like that Sarah Bareilles song.
Yeah. What?
Oh, okay, Jeff.
Is this called Brave?
Here, wow. I'll find it for you. I actually like it.
Hashtag sometimes, adjective. And then
sometimes,
like,
when I'm down, man, I, you know, listen to the song.
It's a good song.
It makes me feel better.
Hey, Ashley, I want to get a tattoo. You mean like the song?
Let's play Halo. Yes, exactly.
Let's play Halo. You mean like the song?
No, that would just make me think of the video game. Although now I have the song stuck in my head. Thanks. That song's annoying. I'm going to listen to Brave to get that out.
Hey, look, there's a giant woman. You mean like the song?
Wait, there's no other meaning for that.
I just saw a giant woman walking in the street. I don't know.
Uh-huh. No, it was the way that Ash said, like, I want to see her be brave.
That's actually
how it is.
Okay.
Said in the song.
Ashley, let's shake it off. Shake it off.
Exactly.
I really want to see your Halo, though.
Do you? Okay.
I can't think of any other pop songs. Umbrella?
That's sad.
Ella?
Hey? Hey.
Oh, I know a good song.
Do you?
Do you know what I'm
going to
play?
No. I should do that.
I should get the clip of you saying no in response, because you do the same no every time. I can't believe I haven't been using the soundboard. That would have woken me up.
I know now, without a doubt, Kingdom Hearts is light. Me.
Will you tell mommy?
Oh, Ash, you must not have heard. Like, we got feedback explaining mommy me.
It's, really?
It's Mom, comma Amy.
Yeah.
What? Will you tell Mom Amy that I'm going to the summer?
Will you say, tell Mom Amy?
Yeah.
That I'm going to the summer memory. It actually makes sense.
That does make sense now. Why did we never hear that?
I don't know. Yeah, because we're like, racist.
Digimon Wiki even has like a like list like Amy as a sister, which like doesn't make sense based on what he says exactly. But anyway, or a friend or something, I forget. Because, I mean, he says mother. He says mom to her, so I guess she's a sibling. But anyway, yeah.
I love when listeners tell us things that we don't understand when we listen. Like the Palmon thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Palmon thing.
Prodigious!
Exactly.
I paid money to get rid of the ghosts in this soundboard.
Nice.
It was too annoying to avoid.
Got it memorized?
Nope.
It's a very weird email. It was like... It's not actually meant to be sent to me. It's like instructions for someone else's interview.
Awkward.
I mean, it's weird. Like, it was sent to an organization of people that included, I think, a lot of people. So I think it'll be
That's clear. Like almost as awkward as the time that people sent me their final email being like, hey, we want to interview you, but it contained the whole chain of them like talking about me internally. Super awkward.
That is, I forgot about that. I'm tired of never stopping digivolving. Like, it gets tiring to keep digivolving all the time, always, forever.
I was stopping recording.
I'm so tired. I'm just gonna go to sleep now. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
On that note.